starting to hold more events in central and big population cities. With just days until the caucuses, they're trying to hit the most ears.
About 60 people were on hand to occupy Des Moines ahead of Tuesday's caucuses. Several arrests were made, and eventually employees of the Democratic Party called in a complaint because some of the occupiers were blocking the entrance to the DNC's office. Fire broke out at a docked Russian nuclear sub on the Barents Sea. Authorities say about 100 emergency personnel responded. They say there's no threat of a radiation leak, and there were no injuries. Work on the National September 11th Memorial Museum has been halted over a budgetary dispute. New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg says that makes it impossible for it to open on the 11th anniversary of the terrorist attack.
There's no chance of it being open on time. Work is basically stopped.
The mayor blames the holdup on disagreements with the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, which is responsible for part of the project's financing. A large sinkhole spread into an historic cemetery in Allentown, Pennsylvania, prompting officials to get a court order to allow exhumation of graves if the coroner thinks that's necessary. At least one grave site dates back to the 1850s. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Becky, thanks for calling.
Oh, no problem.
Lyle, honey, it's time to go home.
DoubleMySpeed.com.
What is that he keeps saying?
DoubleMySpeed.com.
DoubleMySpeed.com.
What is that?
Oh, this amazing site. Lyle logged on to DoubleMySpeed.com, got a free comprehensive diagnosis, and within minutes, he knew exactly what was slowing down our PC.
Wow.
Anyway, DoubleMySpeed.com removed dangerous spyware and a virus.
No kidding.
They cleaned our computer remotely and restored it to peak performance.
DoubleMySpeed.com. DoubleMySpeed.com.
We know, Lyle. He's so excited about DoubleMySpeed.com that he wanders the neighborhood to spread the word. But the only thing he can say is DoubleMySpeed.com at double speed.
Yeah, I wonder if Don knows about DoubleMySpeed.com.
Oh, Lyle sent him an email.
Don, do you know about
DoubleMySpeed.com?
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 Get your free diagnosis at DoubleMySpeed.com, and within minutes, find out what's slowing down your PC.
DoubleMySpeed.com?
Guess it was a group email.
Get your free diagnosis today. DoubleMySpeed.com. Your PC, like new again. DoubleMySpeed.com.
Results will vary depending on your PC, software, and other factors.
American Airlines is losing its gate at the New York Stock Exchange. The big board has informed bankrupt parent AMR its stock will be delisted next week. A delisting is what happens if a stock trades below a dollar a share for an entire month. United Airlines has taken another big step toward full integration with its acquisition, Continental. The airline and the Teamsters have ratified a new labor contract for United Mechanics. The airline and the union now begin talks for an agreement to cover United and Continental mechanics together. Stock traders get one more crack at it today. A rally could pull the NASDAQ out of its percent and a half loss for 2011. The S&P 500 is nursing a tiny half percent gain for the year. Right now, S&P futures are up 1 point. NASDAQ futures, Dow futures each up 2. Japan's Nikkei index rose a half percent in its final day of 2011 trading. Most European markets are holding near break even now. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
On average, a smoker will die 15 to 20 years earlier than a non-smoker. Quit risking your life. Quit spending all your hard-earned money. Quit worrying about dirty looks. Take your freedom back and switch to American Blue Tip, the hassle-free electronic cigarette that looks, feels, and tastes just like the real thing. You won't even miss cigarettes.
Call 1-800-822-7794. That's 1-800-822-7794. Call 1-800-822-7794.
The best part of running my small business? Definitely spending hours on payroll.
I like being my own boss, but I love learning about tax codes.
I started this whole restaurant as an excuse to do payroll paperwork.
Ah, the joys of payroll. Hours spent on paperwork that should be spent on your business. That's why over a million small business owners use Intuit Payroll.
To prepare for the new one. Hurry into Sears Auto Center this week to save big on all top tire brands. Plus, get an extra $70 via mail-in rebate on 4 qualifying Michelin tires. And get a Valvoline oil change for just $21.99 with coupon, and we'll throw in a $5 Sears coupon to help you tackle the rest of your holiday shopping list while you wait. Go to SearsAuto.com for more money-saving offers and coupons. That's real deals for real drivers. Sears Auto Center. Sale and rebate ends 1-3. Coupon good for 12/31. Exclusions apply. See store for details.
For Margaret, we shared a newspaper in a thunderstorm. We raised 3 amazing children. We sang at the piano until the neighbors complained. So here's to making the next 30 years as wonderful as the first. love, Adam.
When you give the gift of New York Life, you give the most selfless gift of all. New York Life Insurance Company can help you plan a secure retirement so you can spend your retirement years the way you.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to First Shift. I'm Jeff Radford, and today I'm bringing you simply the best clips and most recent clips of First Shift with Tony Truffiano. Interviews, segments, thoughts, conversations that have sparked a lot of feedback. We thank you so much for listening and being part of the show, being part of our lives, and we hope you enjoy the show. From all of us to all of you, we hope you have a safe and happy holiday season. But now, on to the clips.
Sure, and let's get going.
Joining Tony in studio, as he always does at this time, the legislative and political director of the United Food and Commercial Workers of Michigan, Chris Mihalakis.
And I welcome back, Chris Mihalakis. But I have to tell you, I have been waiting for this moment since last night when Roger said, gee, every time I hear that introduction, it's like you're the Queen of England. That's exactly what Roger said, the Queen of England, Chris Mihalakis.
That is what Roger said, and you know, it's definitely a nice introduction, but I'm not.
I think he meant royalty, but I like the Queen of England better.
Roger chooses his words very carefully.
Yes, he does.
A very, very intelligent guy. I don't know how regal it is, but, you know, I'll take it.
Well, you know, you are royalty in the First Shift world anyway. First of all, I want to extend to you, and of course you'll share with Roger, what a wonderful time I had last night. Certainly to spend time with people that I care so much about. I had said earlier in the program, your board of directors were the UFCW board of directors were there, and I had a chance to visit with them.
Yeah.
How gracious they've been to this program. Of course, without them, I wouldn't be on the air, of course.
Right.
I mean, you know, I don't hide that fact. But it really had a chance to chat with them a bit and, talked politics and that question about being a Republican that kind of probably planted the seed, because I said to them last night, why would you want to be a Republican?
Yeah.
And they said to me, I have no idea, because I'm not. But they pointed to it, and they said, that guy over there is. But we don't understand, because he has a coonskin cap. But he's a Republican. So, anyway, I had a great time last night. I truly did.
And, Tony, it was great having you. And we have a great executive board at UFCW. And, you know, we have the best president you can ask for in Roger Robinson. I mean, we have great leadership at our local, and we're proud to have you in our ranks. And it's a great relationship between our union and the show, and something that will continue to grow next year.
Yeah, absolutely. And not to mention, that I should mention that I am also a member of the UFCW, a dues-paying member.
That's right.
I just wrote my check for the first quarter, so I'm sure it's been cashed by now. There are benefits to membership, and I appreciate those benefits. You know, let me first of all wish you a happy holiday. And
same
of course,
here.
We're going to take a look back at the year legislatively and some other things. This is going to be our last visit until the new year.
Right, right.
Because we're going to be off, and you're off to take a little vacation.
That's right. I'm going to finally get some free
you
time.
You really can't wait for this trip.
No.
People can see the smile on your face right now.
A week from now, I'll be being woken up by howler monkeys in a Costa Rican jungle.
Okay, so. Yeah, Costa Rican jungle. All right, I'm going to leave that one alone, too. Okay, this is going to be a very careful interview today. Where would you like to begin, Mr. Royalty? Where would you like to begin?
That's funny. Well, you know, on a very serious note, you know, I was listening earlier this morning, and everything you were saying was so dead on, and about, you know, the difference between Republicans and where Republicans think the economy is going. And you know, I've been working in politics for years, and in the last election cycle, everybody was talking this a very similar message, in that the number one most important issue in Michigan is jobs, jobs, jobs. You know, there's nothing more important than creating jobs. And so, you know, we've been watching very closely all this legislation that's been passing through Lansing, and the Republicans dominate the whole process. They control all three legs of the stool. And what I find very disheartening and very, very unfortunate is that when you look at, like, you know, I want your audience right now, everybody listening, think about for a second, what do you think is wrong with the economy? What do you think our problems are economically? Is it the volatility of the stock market? Your pension isn't there anymore. Your 401k is unstable. You know, your retirement is no longer based on a decision that you and your family makes. It's based on the health of the market. Is it, you know, the jobs aren't available? Is that your wages haven't gone up? That every single year you're finding it harder and harder to stay ahead with the economy and to stay ahead on your bills and to pay off your debts. You know, think about everything that you think is wrong with the economy. And let me tell you what the Republicans think is wrong with the economy. The Republicans think, and I will back all of this up for, you know, as much as I need to. The Republicans think the problem with our economy is that you, the listener, have it too good. They think your benefits are too good. They think you make too much money. They want to lower your wages. They want to weaken your collective bargaining rights if you're fortunate enough to have them. But, you know, you look at what they did the last couple weeks up in Lansing before they went on break. And, you know, they just started gutting worker protections. They've been doing this all year round. First, they taxed our pensions. Then they threaten to weaken our collective bargaining rights, and in some case, you know, through PA4 with these local dictators. And now they took your workman's comp and they slashed it by saying, well, if a magistrate thinks that you can work another job, they're going to deduct those wages from that other job, regardless of whether or not anyone will hire you. You know, they're going to take away these invisible wages, these phantom wages, from your workman's comp.
Let's stop with just that one for a moment.
Sure.
Where the hell does an idea like that come from?
I don't know. The Mackinac Center, actually, is where those ideas come from. And, you know, the Mackinac Center is a nonprofit that is not only partisan, it's hyper-partisan. They're considered a nonprofit organization, and yet they're writing the policies for the Republican Party. And not just any old policies. This is like the solid far right wing base of thought for the Republican Party. They're pushing the GOP in the state to a direction that a lot of Republicans aren't comfortable with. I mean, you know, we rip on Republicans a lot. There's a few that are okay. A few, not many. You know, and we've always been good to admit that on the show, and when we get Republicans that vote.
As soon as you said that, we got a phone call. So.
So they have this draconian workman's comp bill, and we've talked about it before, but just in case people aren't sure and don't remember, what it says is if a magistrate, you know, if you're a worker on an assembly line and you lose an arm. And you're on workman's comp because you can't work. The magistrate can say, you know what? You still got another arm to wave at people as they come in and out of Walmart. You can be a greeter there. We're going to deduct what a greeter makes from your workman's comp benefits.
Absolutely.
So, you know, regardless of whether or not Walmart or Meijer or whoever wants to hire you, we're going to deduct those wages, even if there's no jobs. And for every job that's available, there's 5 people in the state of Michigan looking to work in that job. So it's not like we have a plethora of jobs that go unfulfilled. Now, the same with this unemployment bill they just passed. They want to deduct your wage, and again, these invisible wages from your unemployment, if you can find a job that pays within 130% of your benefits. Now, this is 130% of your benefits, not your base pay. The weekly maximum in Michigan, I believe, is $348 for unemployment benefits.
Something like that. Might be a little, 366, might be a little higher, but
yeah.
But we're in the in the ballpark. We're talking about $20 here. So.
Yeah, well under $400. And so if you can find a job that basically pays minimum wage, which I'm sure if we did the math, I mean, it may be a buck or two over minimum wage, and that's assuming you qualify for the weekly maximum benefit level.
Right.
So you're still talking about a wage that's 40% of your base wage. If you can find a job that pays that much, you have to take it. And whether or not you take it or whether or not that job is offered to you, they will deduct those wages from your unemployment benefits.
Yeah, again, you really have to stop and think about how punitive these new laws, these are punitive. And this idea that you know, that people are defrauding the system, or whatever the Republican mantra is to justify what they've done here, ultimately, this hurts real people. That's the part that gets to me, is that, that this is hurting real people. And the majority of people, Chris, you and I recognize up front, we got to get to the break, but you and I recognize up front, yes, there are people that abuse the system. They're always going to be.
Absolutely.
They're going to people let it figure out how to abuse this. They will. Yeah. They'll figure it out. The vast majority of people don't even want the freaking benefits to begin with.
Right.
All right.
Right.
I'm he's afraid of me now. I'm starting to wave my arms. All right, Dan and Milford, stay where you're at. We're going to come to you right after the break. Chris Mialak is in studio with us. Stay with us. We'll be back. This is First Shift.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best of edition of First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back with more great clips and interviews in just a bit.
And joining us now is Cheryl Witten, the president of the Michigan Advisory Board for Blessings in a Backpack.
Blessings in a Backpack is a national organization. This teacher was concerned because she had kids in her school who came back from the weekend tired and hungry and by no means ready to learn. These children are on the free and reduced lunch program during the school week, but no one thought, what happens to these children when they go home on Friday? So came up with the very simple idea, let's pack a backpack with food to take home with them on Friday, and they would return their backpack on Monday to be refilled.
All right, so if I contact blessingsinabackpackmi.org, how do I get involved?
There is a page to make a donation, and then we as the Michigan Board will determine where the greatest need is.
Blessings in a Backpack, MI.org.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me now is that hero that I speak of, Representative Jim Ananick.
This is, I joke because I'm a teacher, that this is something that's like in like the middle school elementary curriculum for economics. I mean, this is just basic stuff. I mean, it seems to be so obvious, but, you know, as you know, when you're in Lansing or listening to some of the things coming out of Lansing, it's just like my common thing is, if you can run off your philosophy like a Neanderthal, it's not really much of a philosophy.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310. WDTW.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Truppiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best of edition of First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310WDTW. Now, back to the clips and interviews.
Appreciate you punching in with us this morning, folks. It's going to be an interesting day. I can tell that already by the email I have. Chris Mialakis is with us. We're going to go to Dan in Milford now. He's been waiting patiently. If you'd like to join us, 888-552-3595. Dan, welcome to First Shift. Appreciate you dialing us up this morning. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas, Tony and Chris. Hey, Tony, I'm always willing to wait on hold to speak to the Queen of England.
I was going to try to do some sort of impression, but
thank you for not doing that.
We cannot speak in that sort of tone.
And all of your listeners, thank you for not doing that.
Yeah.
Just a couple quick comments. I love this conversation about it's sort of what, you know, one of those what are they thinking sort of thing. And two things. One is, and I talk about it in terms of the difference between conservative and liberal as opposed to Republican and Democrat, but conservatives believe that all people at their core are bad people, and this is what leads them to say, well, there's people cheating the system, where liberals at their core, in my belief, and this is what I believe, and I think you guys feel the same, is that, you know, generally people are good, and if you provide help to them, they will take it as a leg up. And so that's the first comment. The second, Tony, around your question about why would anyone ever want to be a Republican, I don't think that's the right question, because I don't think that anyone chooses to be a Republican in a conscious way. I think they choose not to be progressive. I think they choose not to be liberal or a Democrat because, in the real sense, it's harder to be a progressive. It's harder to be a liberal because it means that you actually have to have empathy and take others, the consequences for others into consideration when you're making decisions. And it's harder. So I think, I don't think they want to be Republicans. I just think they don't want to be progressive.
I think that's one of the smartest things I've heard all week. I mean, Dan, you hit the nail on the head. It is hard to be a progressive because being a progressive means you have to have empathy. You have to be forgiving. You have to have a heart. And it's not easy, even when times...
You also have to be informed.
Right, right. And when times get tough, you know, it's easy to find blame other people for economic issues. Or to say, well, you know, the reason why I don't have a job is because of undocumented workers and, you know, they're taking all of our jobs and this and that. It's hard to say, well, you know, maybe the reason why, my wages haven't gone up in years is because I haven't, you know, banded together with my coworkers to form a union and demand a collective bargaining agreement. Or, you know, it's you're absolutely right. I mean, I can't agree with you more.
Yeah, Dan, great call. Thank you, and happy holidays to you, and a very Merry Christmas. All right, so let's kind of take a look back. You know, I said as you're well aware, let's have a little conversation. Harvey Santana, as you know, had a colorful ending to the legislative session last Thursday night. He called the show early Friday morning, explained his side, apologized profusely. He and Representative Nathan got into it. You know, the frustration, Chris, has to be overwhelming. You're for all intents and purposes, you lobby. I mean, that's what you are. You're
sure.
A lobbyist,
among other things.
Amongst other things, and so, you know, you've been around politics a while now. Take a look at the last year. Forget about issues for a minute. Talk about ideology and philosophy. What's it like to know that when you go up to the Capitol to talk to people, to lobby them, to educate them, to inform them, to take their temperature on an issue, what's it like knowing that they know you're a Democrat?
Right.
And you have to sit down with them. I would think you're being greeted differently these days.
Oh, yeah. They just don't care. I mean, and especially in the House. You know, there was this hope that if we would have held the House in the last cycle, you know, Richardville can be pretty reasonable on a few things. Snyder was tossing around some ideas that weren't, you know, horrible at the time. You know, but then after things like PA4 and taxing pensions and tax cuts for the rich, I mean, you know, we saw his true nature. But anyways, but in the House, you have the most rabid right-wing people in control there. And you're even starting to see rifts, cracks in the Republican armor. To steal a line from Joe DeSano, there's nothing I love more than Republican-on-Republican violence. And, you know, and this isn't like moderate versus conservative. It's conservative versus nationalistic, you know, versus completely off the reservation. Like you have in the House. And these are folks who, when you tell them you're from a labor union, they don't want you to exist. Like, these aren't people that, you know, want more rights and more freedom for union members. They want there to be no labor movement. And, you know, they don't, and you can come at them with facts. You can come at them reasonably. You can try to explain the virtues of collective bargaining. You know, I like right to work, for example. You know, when I try to explain it to these very, very far right wingers, I say, look, you know, this isn't about, you know, you're talking about freedom and liberty in the job place. This isn't about that. A union is a workplace democracy. Union members have a right to vote on their own rules internally, and they have a right to vote on their contracts. And you're talking about restricting a union labor and management's ability to negotiate contracts. And they don't see it like that. They don't believe me. You know, when item pricing came up, and I testified, and I said, you know, the other side, management is saying that if you get rid of item pricing, it's going to create jobs. Now, Tony, between you and me and the people listening in the audience here, if item pricing really, really created jobs, if that were true, I mean, you know, we look out for the consumers first, but would we have been as aggressive in stopping it from getting rid of the laws as we have been?
No.
If it would have created jobs, that would have meant more members. It would have meant more prosperity for all of our members across the board. And so, you know, now we look at our employment numbers and our membership numbers, and they're dropping chain-wide in Kroger and Myers and in other grocery stores because of the loss in the item pricing law. The Republicans in the legislature just didn't believe me when I told them that this was going to cost jobs. And it's like, do you think I'm lying or do you just not care? And, you know, some of them, you know, thought I was lying and some of them just didn't care. And it's unfortunate. And this is what I go back to before. You know, Republicans think that the problem with our economy is you, the blue collar, middle class, upper middle class, white collar, whatever. Those of you who are not, you know, Fortune 500 CEOs, they think you have it too good. And you guys, you know, everybody listening, you need to ask yourself, do you think the problem with the economy is you're living this lavish, luxurious lifestyle and things are too good for you and your family? Or do you think it's the exact opposite? You know, do you think that there are those who, you know, when you concentrate wealth to such a small, tiny number of people, and the left of us are left here fighting for the scraps from the rich man's table, you know, that's where I think the problem is.
Well, you know, interestingly, and we'll take a break. We've got the phones ringing, but interestingly, as we go to the break, Chris, let's think about this for just a moment. Even those that are making laws right now, Republicans, because they have the majority, they wake up every morning knowing they can do whatever they want to do. They're not part of the 1%. So
right.
they're actually
right.
legislating against their own interests.
Right. Without a doubt.
Makes no sense.
Not at all.
All right. A quick break here. We've got Tony and Troy up next. Tony, please stay where you're at. And then, of course, feel free to join us.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back with more great clips and interviews in just a bit.
Recently on First Shift.
Just joining me now is Jerry Persaud, the Senior Vice President of Advancement at Gleaners Community Food Bank.
Probably the single biggest thing that's happening is happening at the federal level now, and that's looking at the food stamp program. In 2006, there were 26.5 million people participating in the food stamp program. Then you had the economic decrease, and in 2011, there were 44.2 million. That's a huge increase in the number of people seeking food help. And so if you cut that program by 10%, the jobs aren't there for people. What are they going to do? That will have a tremendous impact on what's going to happen at our local level.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Are you one of those 11th-hour shoppers who's only now realizing that Christmas is this weekend? Well, don't panic, for Jim the Elf Hightower is here to help. All you need is a bushel basket of money and the Neiman Marcus catalog of Christmas goodies. As the catalog itself says up front, Exceed all expectations without of the ordinary presents your loved ones had no idea they wanted. For example, the Tom Burr table tennis table on page 65. This is not your common rec room ping pong table. It's a contemporary work of art sculpted by this whimsical artist from an unexpected material. Black rubber. How delightful is that? And practical, too, because, as Artiste Burr himself explains, rubber makes the ball bounce. More bounce for your buck. Speaking of which, Burr's table tennis table goes for $45,000. But hurry, he only made 10 of them. But maybe you want something a little more down-to-earth. Neiman's has just the ticket for you with a back-to-the-earth trip to the Stone Barns Farm. It's a lush 80-acre complex with a bounty of crops and livestock, as well as a posh restaurant named Blue Hill. You're asked to gather 6 of your friends for this day trip, which will include, quote, a hands-on learning experience. It doesn't say whether that means milking goats, slaughtering a hog, mucking the barn, or what. But it's all yours for $9,500. What a deal. They get some work out of you, and you pay them. Only Neiman Marcus could sell that package. This is Jim Hightower saying there's so much more to choose from, like the $250,000 speedboat or the custom-made computer-activated dancing fountains for a cool $1 million. Isn't it good to know that even in this down economy, there's still a market for such pricey baubles? So get out there and shop. Wall Street is counting on you.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at HightowerLowdown.org.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me is therapist Leo Battenhausen, author of the brand new book, Defeating Depression, The Calm and Sense Way.
Well, first we have to realize a big part of our personality and our very being can be taken right from us at any given time, especially with a long-term career we've been in, or even a short-term career where we're providing food and housing for ourselves or our family. So a big piece of us goes into a shock phase when we are either laid off or become unemployed. But we have to remember that true happiness is not something that can ever be taken away from us if we have it within. So, you know, we have to be careful with putting our happiness into our jobs or into our things, because anything can be taken away from us. But we have to understand, too, that it's an opportunity to rebuild ourselves. And most studies show that happiness can come from people who reinvent themselves and find themselves in a different career if their ability to stay in their long-term career is taken from them.
First Shift with Tony Triano on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too, when he comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Very goodly moodly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook, and also follow us at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to the clips and interviews.
Chris, taking a look at what's happening, just very quickly. Actually, before we get back on the legislative bandwagon, I had mentioned on yesterday's show that I was fortunate enough to volunteer my time at the UAW Local 174. They gave away 250 baskets of food. I shouldn't say baskets. It was two big boxes full of food plus a turkey. You also got involved in another labor effort to feed the hungry as well.
Yeah, and hopefully next year we can make this a project we do at First Shift.
We are going to do it next year for sure.
But what we did every year, the Metro Detroit AFL-CIO, along with Teamsters Local 299, a lot of help from AFSCME Council 25 as well, and the AFT Michigan, actually, and all the other affiliates of the Metro, we put together food boxes like you guys did at UAW for the needy. And what we do is we have all of our internal unions send us names of folks who've been laid off, people who are having a hard time, mm-hmm. People who've been out of work for a while. And then we also let social services know if there's any families in need, they know to come down. And we have a relationship with Gleaners that, you know, not only do we get a lot of really good food, but if they have things that are perishable and they got to push out soon, they just kind of, you know, give a lot of their surplus to us too, to give to the needy. And so we have people, you know, we have some folks that every year just know to come down to, you know, either the Teamsters or AFSCME and pick up some food for the holidays. And we make sure that it's a lot of it's frozen stuff. It's stuff that'll last them for a long time. So it's not just, you know, a meal at Christmas, but they can stretch out the food for months and get them through these hard times. We had, I believe it was over 400 people come this year to receive food.
That's beautiful. I talked to Kevin Moore yesterday. He's going to be on Friday morning.
Yeah.
Just kind of do it year end and from their perspective. Sure. And he was telling me that, you know, they donated $5,000.
Yeah.
You know, he was telling me everything that was going. And it was just a massive effort, Chris. And of course, I got to be honest with you, I'm a wimp, but it was hard for me when the family started showing up. Emotionally, it's very difficult for me to see these people show up because I just can't imagine what they're going through emotionally.
Yeah.
I just can't. And I've been blessed that I've lived a life that I've never had to worry about something like that.
Yeah, and you know, we had a lot of excess food left over from families that didn't show up or whatever reason. And so what we did was Bartos and I, who I think you've had on the show before.
I haven't, but he's the one that gets us our Occupy Detroit guests every day.
Yeah, so what we did was we went to the Occupy Detroit General Assembly, and we told them, you know, all of your different occupations throughout the city, if your folks need food or fuel. We actually gave them all of our cardboard boxes that were left over that were just going to go in the recycler to use as fuel for all those that are squatting in different neighborhoods. And also, we went to Spirit of Hope Church, and, you know, we saw the food bank that they are operating. Spirit of Hope has been really good to Occupy Detroit them and Central United Methodist Church. And we thought there was a General Assembly going on at Spirit of Hope, and it turns out that there wasn't, but there was a soup kitchen going on.
Oh!
So we found the people running the soup kitchen and said, come on down to 400 West Lafayette and bring a car that we can fill up. And we literally packed that car to the brim with food. And, it was a great, great thing. And we gave them hopefully enough food to get them through a couple weeks.
Well, it really does make you feel good to know that you're involved in an effort like that. And I don't know how many volunteers that you had.
Oh, we had countless. We had probably about 100 volunteers from all sorts of different unions. And the Teamsters, and Kevin could talk more about this, but they do a phenomenal job because they get us all the infrastructure. You know, they get the semi donated from one of their employers. They get the pallet jacks, you know, so we get these big skids and pallets of food and the Teamsters got all the equipment to move everything around and to package all the boxes, and it's just an amazing operation.
Well, you know, again, it's wonderful that we could do it. Unfortunately, there are still, in fact, for the UAW, this is the biggest effort they've ever done.
Yeah.
This is their 50th year, and this is the greatest demand has been this year.
Wow.
You know, obviously you had no problem getting rid of all the food that you had either, and it's and unfortunately, you know, it's a shame that we have to do it at all. It's, you know, if we could do it more often, I'm sure that we all would. But, you know, let's let this conversation take us back to this divide that we started the show with, which is, you know, Democrat, Republican, or conservative, progressive. You know, and at the end of the day, you know, the majority of people, Chris, really just want a fair shot at a job. You know, let's keep it simple. I don't really want to make this, you know, wonkish. This is about people just wanting an opportunity to make a living. That's all that people really want. They don't have that opportunity right now. That's just the God's honest truth.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Tony, your listeners, everybody listening right now, you guys didn't cause the housing bubble to burst. You didn't cause the volatility in the stock market to crash. You didn't bring down the health of the middle class. And yet the Republican Party is blaming you for the state of our economy today. And I hope that's something that everybody thinks about when they go to vote every few years. And you know, as they have these discussions around the kitchen table at Christmas time, I always like to do some little talking points before the holidays. So that's what you can tell your right-wing brother-in-law who, you know, watches Glenn Beck online every day or is a Fox News junkie. You know, ask him, is it your fault that the economy is tanking? Because that's what Republicans think. And the proof is in the pudding. The proof is in all these bills that they passed.
Well, yeah. Again, it's detrimental, and again, punitive is the word that I keep coming back to.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting. Like there are, I'm sure there's people that scam the system, but you know what happens more often than not when Republicans take these proactive, punitive measures. The bigger issue with our unemployment fraud, if you investigate workman's comp fraud and unemployment fraud, for every person. Every person who receives benefits that scams the system, there's 10 or 20 people, employers, that scam their workers out of those benefits.
Yeah.
And so that's the real problem. You know, we had, I wish we could get a copy of testimony from when we were talking about the workman's comp bill and the unemployment bills. People were coming out of the woodwork to testify how, you know, they had genuine claims that their magistrates and their employers were fighting tooth and nail to prevent them from getting benefits because they don't want their insurance to go up. And, you know, that's what happens a lot of times. Rather than pay their employers these benefits when they hire employees, they buy these insurance plans that protect them. Well, you know, the insurance rates will go up or down depending on how many claims they have. So it kind of defeats the purpose of insurance, but that's a discussion for another day. So that's what this is all about. Employers want to save on their rates. And, you know, rather than attack the insurance companies for who knows what kind of questionable practices they're engaged in, they want to take it out on the workers.
Well, it's always about following the money.
Absolutely.
You know, there's no question that it's always about following the money. You know, again, taking a look back at the year that was, you know, it actually started with item pricing. That was the first piece of legislation in the new legislature. And it quickly went downhill after that, for most people anyway. Senior citizens, and of course, they're going to start feeling it now that the calendar is going to turn 2012. Mm-hmm. They're gonna start feeling it, and the money that's coming out of their retirement income. You know, as we take a look back, is there anything that we can look at and say, well, at least we got that? Because I can't think of anything.
No, I mean, you know, at State of the State, I was hopeful while Snyder took a big smack at us with item pricing. I was hopeful about the bridge, you know, the bridge that they want to build, not Matty Maroon's, you know, shady bridge, but the one that the international crossing they want to build would create thousands of jobs. And let's take a look back at this, Tony. Republicans campaigned on a platform of jobs. And not only have they not passed a single bill that creates jobs, but they've passed countless bills that turn jobs away. Item pricing costs us jobs. This workman's comp bill and this unemployment bill, when you tell workers that are eligible for these benefits and you try to squeeze as much labor out of them as you can, what's that do to the labor market? It increases the supply of labor, which drops the cost, and it brings wages down. You look at the bridge. The government of Canada is giving us money to build a bridge, is giving us money to create jobs, and we're turning it away. The federal government is giving us money for high-speed rail. We're turning it away. The federal government's giving money to Troy to build a transit center. How many jobs would these projects create? Thousands. I mean, we know our friends in the building trades.
Absolutely.
Their unemployment numbers are sky high. And they want to go to work. And you have Republicans, whether it's at the local level, the state level, these teabaggers, they want to turn away money and turn away people from going to work.
Well, now, don't be careful with that word teabagger, because as somebody wrote me that, you know, statistically, 90% of homosexuals are Democrats.
Wow. I don't know
where he got that number. So, Donald, feel free to send me that that research.
Not
Chris,
at a
let's take a quick break here. Well, yeah, definitely not there. Let's take a quick break here. We'll come back and wrap it up on the other side. Folks, feel free to give us a call, 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Truppiano. His Chris Mihalakis with the United Food and Commercial Workers Union. We'll wrap it up on the other side of this. You're listening to First Shift on 1310 WDTW.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best-of edition of First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back with more great clips and interviews in just a bit.
And joining us now is Cheryl Witten, the president of the Michigan Advisory Board for Blessings in a Backpack.
Blessings in a Backpack is a national organization. This teacher was concerned because she had kids in her school who came back from the weekend tired and hungry and by no means ready to learn. These children are on the free and reduced lunch program during the school week, but no one thought, what happens to these children when they go home on Friday? So came up with a very simple idea. Let's pack a backpack with food to take home with them on Friday, and they would return their backpack on Monday to be refilled.
All right, so if I contact blessingsinabackpackmi.org, how do I get involved?
There is a page to make a donation, and then we as the Michigan Board will determine where the greatest need is.
Blessingsinabackpackmi.org. Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift,
Tom Shadyac, the writer and director of an amazing documentary titled I Am.
A key part of my journey was making this movie. Now, I had already started shifting. I had begun to wake up the principles that shocked me. I had no idea the way things work, the way we work, the way reality works. And understanding that I was using far too many resources and that I was potentially a part of the problem and not a part of the solution. Not as much a part of the solution as I certainly wanted to be.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Truppiano or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best-of edition of First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to the clips and interviews.
We got some calls to get to. We will wrap things up. Chris Mihalakis with us, the Queen of England, otherwise known as the Queen of England. Let us go to
we
the
are
phones.
In the studio.
If you want to join us, 888-552-3595. Also, feel free to email me, tony@thetonyshow.org, and on Twitter, @TonyTruppiano. Earl in Ypsilanti, Merry Christmas to you, my friend. I haven't heard from you in a while. Glad to see you on my screen this morning.
Yeah, Tony and Chris, I just called to wish you a Merry Christmas. And Tony, I hope that your show is awesome in 2012 and grows that much more. Yeah, I've been busy on the other side of the state working on an organizing campaign where the workers are pretty much paid. They're working poor. They're paid poverty wages, and every everything you're talking about, this goes back to my characterization of working people that vote Republican. This chicken's voting for Colonel Sanders. The legislature, first they attacked ergonomic standards.
Right.
Then they wanted to allow the enforcement of ergonomic standards. Now they're going after workers' compensation. And I'm certain everybody that's trying to claim workers' comp benefits, they have to be Democrat. You know, it's just mind-boggling to think that a working person would go into the voting booth and push a button or punch a hole or pull a lever and vote Republican.
Well, you know, interestingly enough, and Earl, thank you for your call. Jeff had a conversation with a teacher yesterday that was a hardcore conservative and and was defending what the legislature did. Jeff, am I characterizing that properly? I don't want to mischaracterize that.
Going against a lot of what things most teachers, I would assume, are for.
Did he start with, you know, Tony or Jeff, I make too much money, my benefits are too luxurious, and my classroom doesn't have enough students in it?
You'd think that's how the conversation would go, but no.
All right, just so there's that. And then I ran into somebody the other day that a hardcore union guy who kept on insisting on calling Nancy Pelosi Nasty Pelosi. Mm. And just told me, you know, why Democrats are the problem and that the Republicans have all the solutions. Yet he's a working class union guy. It made no sense to me at all. And it took everything I had not to scratch his eyes out.
I liked Earl's quote, though. You know, a working class person voting Republican is like a chicken voting for Colonel Sanders.
Absolutely.
It reminds me of... of the old adage from the Underground Railroad, why did Harriet Tubman only free 300 slaves? You know, because the rest didn't realize that they were slaves.
Yeah, you're right. Back to the phones. Roger in Garden City joins us now. Merry Christmas to you, Roger. You're on the air with Chris Mihalakis.
Well, good morning, Tony. It's nice to hear your voice, and thanks for fighting for working people. You do a great job fighting for unions and working people, and I just don't understand why people vote Republican. I listen to Ed Schultz in the afternoons, and sometimes he gets down to being an elementary school teacher when he gets some of these Republicans calling in, and he explains it so simple, even a two-year-old could understand.
And they still don't get it, Roger, and they still don't get it.
That's right.
No, they still don't get it, Tony. I don't understand it. They vote against themselves, and everybody knows Republicans fought Social Security, Medicare. Now they're fighting unemployment and the payroll tax extension in Washington. These people don't care one iota about working people at all. And I don't understand why people just don't get it.
Now, Roger, if I had the answer to that, Chris, go ahead.
Well, first of all, Roger, thanks for the call. And as you may know, Tony, Roger's one of those amazing board members I spoke about earlier from UFCW 876. And, Roger, you do a great service for the local, and thank you for that. And, I think the reason for it is Republicans and Fox News, which are one and the same, they don't sell facts. They don't sell people on a set of ideas that improves the quality of their lives. They sell culture. And that's why the idea of this culture war is so important. That's why this, every year around this time, you have the war on Christmas, and all Democrats want to do is, force you to have gay marriage and abortions and whatever. And that's why their spokespeople are always very character driven, but not necessarily ideologically consistent. And that's what the Republican Party does. It's a culture thing. They sell machismo. They sell this very, very narrow spectrum of what they think America should be, and people buy into it.
I'm going to point something out that is obvious. We didn't have a Republican call this show in this hour.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to speculate as to why, because that's unfair to them. It really is. I'm trying to be a little respectful. Not that I need to be, but I will be. So I'm not going to guess. I will say. I'll throw one thing out there. They probably feel like I wouldn't give them a fair shake. Fair enough. That's fine. That's fine. We know conservatives listen to this show. They've called before. They email me. So we know they're out there.
And some of them are pretty reasonable.
Some of them are. But
hardworking people.
But at some point, they have to realize that it's really difficult to defend the majority of what your party is doing to society. And this is an act they're perpetuating on society. This is stuff that they're deliberately doing to your neighbors. And I would think that even they, some of them, have a conscience and say, it's really hard for me to pick up the phone and defend that.
Without a doubt. And here's the irony of the whole situation. And I don't know if I'll have time to get into it, but maybe someone can talk about it another day. The philosophy of this this far right wing extremism is based in Ayn Rand's writings and quote unquote objectivism. And the whole point of objectivism is you should put yourself before you put others. You know, and that's why socialism is this horrible, evil thing. That's why progressives are horrible, evil people, because there's virtue and greed. And what I don't understand is how working class Republicans, which 99% of Republicans are working class people, are part of the 99%. Why they want to put the quality of life of the very, 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 very rich, of the 1%, before the quality of their own lives. And, you know, if you're a true conservative and you have these Republicans taking away your benefits, taxing your pension, cutting your pay, raising your premiums on your health care, then do what Ayn Rand says and think about yourself. Put yourself first when you go and vote those jerks out of office.
No, and that's what we need to do. 2012, by the way, will be dedicated on this program anyway to defeating the enemy. And the enemy at this point are people in legislators within the Republican Party. I'll say it clearly. I'll say it up front. There's absolutely no gray area here at all. 2012 is dedicated to beating Republicans in November. That's it. That's what we're dedicated to doing.
And you know, Tony, on top of that, there's going to be a few Democrats that are going to face each other in primaries. We're going to have two incumbents.
And that's fine.
And some are with working families and some aren't. And we're going to go after those that have opposed us, too.
And let me wrap it up because we're out of time. I'm giving a speech this afternoon at the Roosevelt High School, the Teachers Association, the AFT out there. And part of my message is going to be you need to start not only worrying about who you're electing to state office, who you're electing to represent you and your union. You need to scrutinize every single person you elect for moving forward. Chris, Happy New Year. God bless you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas and Merry Christmas to all your listeners.
All right.
Happy holidays and thanks for tuning in for this special best of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back with more great clips and interviews in just a bit.
Recently on First Shift,
NBA veteran and former star of the Michigan Fab Five, Jalen Rose.
There's no way we can help turn around the fate of our great city if we're not educating our youth. Now, you know what those numbers will do. They'll increase the crime rate. They will increase the poverty rate. They'll increase the migration rate of families who now feel like they need to move out of the Detroit area to really find quality schools and opportunity and jobs for their families.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
The following letters were written by our troops.
My dear fellow Americans, I truly appreciate your support. I was starting to wonder if people had forgotten about us over here. But then one of my buddies showed me this website. And now as tears are streaming down my face, I can see for sure that you haven't. Private Emily B., U.S. Army.
It's so heartwarming to see the American people not letting the men and women of the armed forces be forgotten. Your letters make a group of grown men, battle-hardened and gruff, act like a bunch of kids around a Christmas tree. Thanks. Staff Sergeant Matthew H., U.S. Army.
Your support may be the most important thing our troops can carry with them. But don't take our word for it. Take theirs. To show your support, visit americasupportsyou.mil. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Defense and the Ad Council.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9, right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. CNN News is next.
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. Leading the news this hour, the Iowa Republican caucuses are just days away and the TV attack ads are out. CNN's Jim Acosta explains how candidate Newt Gingrich is the target of attack ads, and it shows in the polls.
All you have to do is turn on any TV in Iowa to watch what is happening to Newt Gingrich. Nearly every political ad that is being run by one of the other candidates is aimed at taking down Newt Gingrich, and that goes for a pro-Romney super PAC, which has spent more than some of the campaigns here in negative attack ads on Newt Gingrich. They have had a devastating effect on his campaign.
About 60 people were on hand to occupy Des Moines ahead of Tuesday's Iowa caucus. Some arrests were made. Fire broke out at a docked Russian nuclear sub on the Barents Sea. Authorities say there is no threat of a radiation leak, but they are now saying 7 people were hospitalized for carbon monoxide poisoning. The Pacific Island nation of Samoa is changing sides of the international dateline. It's a business move to more closely align with its main trading partners in that part of the world. CNN's Becky Anderson tells us Samoa is skipping Friday and going straight to Saturday to permanently reset all its clocks.
In 2009, Samoa switched from driving on the right side of the road to the left to further align itself with Australia. So, starting this Saturday, Samoa will be just 3 hours ahead of Sydney instead of 21 hours behind.
Hundreds of thousands of people are expected to crowd into New York's Times Square tomorrow night to welcome the new year. Police Commissioner Ray Kelly says comprehensive counterterrorism measures are being taken to make sure the celebration stays safe.
We're at the top of the terrorist target list. Everybody agrees in the intelligence community that that's a fact of life for us. So as a result, we have to do certain things. We put in what we call a counterterrorism overlay.
There'll be lots of plain clothes and uniformed cops in Times Square, as well as bomb-sniffing dogs. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Now at the Winter Storage event, the Home Depot's made a special buy on 20-gallon storage totes for just $5.88 each. These colorful totes are durable, stackable, and they hold a lot of stuff. All of which means that New Year's Get Organized resolution you made is pretty much in the bag, or the tote. Make room for savings right now with colorful 20-gallon storage totes for just $5.88 each. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. While supplies last, U.S. only. See store for details.
This is a special announcement from Lumber Liquidators.
We're making deals on every floor in every store. If it's in stock, it's on sale. But you must take possession before close of business tomorrow. Plus, get extended special financing on top-name laminate flooring from just 29 cents. Beautiful bamboo flooring starting at $149. All 12-millimeter laminate with free pen from just $199. Every floor in every Lumber Liquidator store is on sale. Just take possession before close of business tomorrow when this offer ends.
American Airlines is getting grounded from big board stock trades. The New York Stock Exchange has told bankrupt American parent AMR its shares will be delisted next week. Stock exchange rules require share prices to trade at more than a dollar each at least once during a month, or the shares get kicked out. For many stock markets around the globe, the best thing about this year is that it's coming to an end. Japan's Nikkei rose 0.5% in the year's final trading day. Most European markets holding near break-even. Most indexes in Asia and Europe, though, are closing out 2011 with double-digit percentage losses. It's a better picture here. Dow up 6% on the year. S&P 500 near flat for 2011. With one day to go, S&P and NASDAQ futures each are gaining 1 point. Dow is right about break-even. Oil futures are finishing out the year less than a quarter away from $100 a barrel, ending 2011 with a gain of about 9%. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
On average, a smoker will die 15 to 20 years earlier than a non-smoker. Quit risking your life. Quit spending all your hard-earned money. Quit worrying about dirty looks. Take your freedom back and switch to American Blue Tip, the hassle-free electronic cigarette that looks, feels, and tastes just like the real thing. You won't even miss cigarettes.
Call 1-800-822-7794. That's 1-800-822-7794. Call 1-800-822-7794.
The best part of running my small business? Definitely spending hours on payroll.
I like being my own boss, but I love learning about tax codes.
I started this whole restaurant as an excuse to do payroll paperwork.
Ah, the joys of payroll. Hours spent on paperwork that should be spent on your business. That's why over a million small business owners use Intuit Payroll. It makes paying employees and filing tax forms quick and easy. See for yourself with a 30-day free trial of Intuit Payroll. Learn more at payroll.com.
Becky, thanks for calling.
Oh, no problem.
Lyle, honey, it's time to go home.
DoubleMySpeed.com.
What is that he keeps saying?
DoubleMySpeed.com.
DoubleMySpeed.com.
What is that?
Oh, this amazing site. Lyle logged on to DoubleMySpeed.com, got a free comprehensive diagnosis, and within minutes, he knew exactly what was slowing down our PC.
Wow.
Anyway, DoubleMySpeed.com removed dangerous spyware and a virus.
No kidding.
They cleaned our computer remotely and restored it to peak performance.
DoubleMySpeed.com. DoubleMySpeed.com.
We know, Lyle. He's so excited about DoubleMySpeed.com that he wanders the neighborhood to spread the word. But the only thing you can say is DoubleMySpeed.com at double speed.
Gee, I wonder if Don knows about DoubleMySpeed.com.
Oh, Lyle sent him an email.
Don, do you know about
DoubleMySpeed.com?
DoubleMySpeed.com.
DoubleMySpeed.com.
Get your free diagnosis at DoubleMySpeed.com and within minutes, find out what's slowing down your PC.
DoubleMySpeed.com. Yes, it was a group email.
Get your free diagnosis today. DoubleMySpeed.com. Your PC like new again. Double.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to First Shift. I'm Jeff Radford, and today I'm bringing you simply the best clips and most recent clips of First Shift with Tony Truffiano. Interviews, segments, thoughts, conversations that have sparked a lot of feedback. We thank you so much for listening and being part of the show, being part of our lives, and we hope you enjoy the show. From all of us to all of you, we hope you have a safe and happy holiday season. But now, on to the clips.
What we're going to do and this hour is very different than what we normally do. And so I'm going to ask all of you, I don't care what side of the political spectrum you're on today, to kind of take a step back from our big bad selves. That's all of us, me included. And listen, and perhaps you will learn something, because we're going to have a very uncommon dialogue this morning. We're going to talk to a man in just a minute who is certainly considered a genius in his field. He's a writer, actor, producer. He is responsible for films like The Nutty Professor and Bruce Almighty and Patch Adams and Accepted. I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry. And he also is responsible for an extraordinary documentary that you, the audience, came to me with and said, Tony, you have got to see this documentary titled I Am. And it's not that I was ignoring you. I was busy, and one a listener in particular, Joe Hicks, who will be calling in a little bit later, he was originally hoping to be with me in studio today, because this documentary, I think, changed his life as it did mine. And you'll find out why as we work our way through the hour. But it was you folks that reached out to me and really shook my cage and knew that this was something that I needed to see, that I needed to experience. And although in the 77 minutes of film that became the documentary I Am, for some people, and it's like one of those wonderful things where it, you know, it's that old saying, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. This film has so many different messages that for the same 10 people to watch it, it could easily get 10 very different and incredible messages from it. So let me bring on to the show right now Tom Shadyac, the writer and director of an amazing documentary titled I Am. And Tom, I want to thank you for getting up with us awfully early for you and joining us on First Shift this morning.
Thank you. It's good to be here. It is early out here in Los Angeles, but it's a beautiful morning. So thanks for having us on.
Well, I appreciate it. Of course, before we go any further, I need to thank our mutual friend and my dear friend, Tom Hartman, who connected me to Harold, your media guy. And that's how we all got here today. Tom Hartman in, by the way, this beautiful film I Am. Tom is just an amazing. I've known Tom for many, many years, and he has actually Tom, very, very much responsible for helping to mentor me and to shape me into the talk show host I am today.
Well, he was one of my mentors as well. What you said earlier in the introduction, when the student is ready, the teacher appears, and Tom was definitely a teacher for me. It's funny, when I first met Tom, I had no idea what his political leanings were. I read him and met him on principles alone, and the principles I found there really helped to wake me up and to change me. So Tom is one of those wonderfully researched incredibly intelligent men that is helping us to reawaken to a new way.
No question. He also is heard on this very station. Of course, Tom is nationally syndicated and is heard noon here on the station. Tom Shadyac, again, my guest. I want to play just the opening part, a little opening salvo from the documentary I Am. Jeff, go ahead and play that audio.
My name is Tom Shadyac. I'm a movie director. Facing my own death brought an instant sense of clarity and purpose. I decided to grab a camera and a film crew of four and start a journey. To spark a conversation around challenging and rarely asked questions.
Have you ever seen any of my movies? Do you ever see Ace Ventura?
Ace Ventura? Did you ever hear that movie? It was a Jim Carrey movie.
No.
See, I need a dose of reality.
We are asking some of today's significant minds, what's wrong with our world and what can we do about it? We started by asking what's wrong with the world, and we ended up discovering what's right with it.
And that is the beginning of this extraordinary 77 minutes of film. Now, Tom Shadyac, I have to tell you that, you know, we could do that typical interview thing where, you know, you're the multimillionaire director, very successful, work for Bob Hope. All that's true, that, you know, you're in the process of, you know, giving it away and, you know, funding wonderful things. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But really, I think this is an amazing opportunity, as I said, to have an uncommon dialogue today about the things that we know are right. We spend so much time talking about what is wrong that I think the greater messages of life are getting lost. And I'm as guilty of that as anybody, so I'll wear that myself, okay? I mean, I'm happy to do that because, you know, it's part of who I am. I'm sometimes angry. I don't like being angry sometimes, but I also understand that I have an important responsibility as a communicator on a daily basis to get information out to people. And so sometimes my passion, or we'll call that anchor, but my passion sometimes gets in the way of message. So I have to ask you, as you had, and I do want to talk about the accident, because I think that that's a pivotal part of why you have catapulted into this entirely new universe for you. So talk about that biking accident and how that changed you.
Well, the biking accident was pivotal for one key part of my journey, and that was making this movie. Now, I had already started shifting. It's one of the things that maybe I didn't communicate as well as I could have in the film. I had been starting this shift 10 to 15 years ago. I had begun to wake up the principles, again, that shocked me. I had no idea the way things work, if you will, the way we work, the way reality works. I began reading things like Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight from Tom Hartman, People's History from Howard Zinn, etc. So I began shifting and, you know, understanding that I was using far too many resources and that I was potentially a part of the problem and not a part of the solution, not as much a part of the solution as I certainly wanted to be. And what happened was when, so I'd already even moved into the mobile home park. For those of you who haven't seen the film, I've shifted and downsized quite a bit from a very large estate to a beautiful mobile home park. No one should feel sorry for me, but it's very much out of the vision of what we call successful in our culture. But I didn't have the courage to talk about it. And so I had made all these shifts, was in process of giving much of my money away, and I was sort of doing it alone and in the closet, if you will. And the bike accident, which was gave me post-concussion syndrome, and I truly faced what I thought was my own death. I thought it was over for me, my last chapter. And when I faced my last chapter, I said I didn't want to die with these ideas inside of me. I wanted to share them. I wanted to offer them to people, my journey to people, to see if it wouldn't be a part of their own, be a part of their own journey and shifting how they were walking in the world, the way they considered doing business with each other, relationships, etc. Because it affects everything. You know, these principles that awoke in me, it affects everything. So that was the shift, really, from the bike accident. But the shift was a much larger shift that had taken place classically over a long long period of time.
You know, it's interesting as I and I know that you're. I think it's fair for me to say that you're not a labels guy. You don't like labels, but I have to give you one because there is something that happened to me as I was watching I Am. I saw, you know, what I saw was this amazing, that you have a gift. There's no question you have a gift. You're a storyteller. You're an amazing storyteller, but that's not the label I want to put on you. And at this point, I think that you're very much a guide, but that's not even the label I want to put on you. What I think, Tom Shadyac, more than anything, is that you've now become one of the messengers. Not unlike the people that you sought out and featured in this wonderful film. You have evolved into one of them, whether you realize that or not.
Well, if it's true that the word guide is appropriate for me, I feel that I am being guided by something. None of this is ever about me and my name and any of that stuff. It's really about the principles that are animating me, and that's all I want to really talk about with people. Not about me and, oh, you gave this away or you did that. There's so much more that, you know, I'm walking into and learning and doing every day. So I'm walking it imperfectly, but the principles, the things that are guiding me, animating me, moving in me, that's really where the power is, and that's what everyone is a part of. So while I appreciate that, I believe that what is guiding me is the message. I believe that what is guiding me are those same principles that animated those that we hold most powerful in our culture, you know, from a Jesus to a Gandhi to a king to a person who's just devoted their life to, you know, love and service. That's kind of my point of view about it. And I think it's how we keep from dividing each other. It's really not about any Republican, Democrat, liberal, conservative, Tom Shadyac, this person, that person. It's about these things, this idea, you know, with a capital I.
Yeah, well, we're going to come take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about this idea. We're going to get into some specifics. I Am The Doc is the website you want to go to, IamTheDoc.com. That's IamTheDoc.com. We'll get it up on our Facebook page. If you'd like to join us, 888-552-3595. I am Tony Trupiano. We'll also take your questions via email, tony@thetonyshow.org. We'll take the break and be back. Stay with
us. Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special Best of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back with more great clips and interviews in just a bit.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special Best of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to the clips and interviews.
Sir, director, well known for the work he's done, becoming wider known for a documentary titled I Am. It was one of those movies that is almost viral in nature, Finding Me the Way Great Movies Find People, by others who saw it and were changed by it. And in fact, Tom Shadyac, the person that originally told me about this is a listener by the name of Joe Hicks, and Joe happens to be on hold. He was hoping to be in studio with me today, but could not. But let me bring Joe into the conversation and introduce the two of you to each other. Tom, meet Joe. Joe, meet Tom.
Hello, Tom. Hey, Joe, I thank you for being head of our marketing department. Well, I don't think it really needs any help.
We do.
Thank you for making the film.
You're welcome.
It's
Look,
changed
we really
my life.
Do need help.
Totally changed my life.
Oh, thank you, brother. I'm so happy. That's the ultimate, you know,
for a person who puts out a piece of work into the world that it's touched somebody. But we really do need people like you, Joe. I mean, this is, as Tony said, how a movie like this gets out there. All my other films, Bruce Almighty had, you know, tens of millions of dollars behind it, $30-40 million in the marketing department, and we have you. So I'll take you every day, Joe. So
well, thank you.
We appreciate you.
Joe, did you have any? Go ahead, Joe. Did you have a specific question you wanted to ask Tom?
Yeah, I had a couple questions. I was going to ask him how much books like, you know, Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight influenced the movie, but I already got my answer to that. So I also wanted to ask, did you know when you were making this film that it would be the perfect antidote to Atlas Shrugged? And did you know it would be coming out around the same time?
I'm sorry, the perfect antidote to what?
Atlas Shrugged.
Oh, Atlas Shrugged, I see. Well, I was certainly familiar with Atlas Shrugged and Ayn Rand's work. I'd tried to read The Fountainhead several times because it had moved friends of mine, and I found a philosophy that I very much part with, and I really couldn't get through it. I read it, you know, I think I read the first 100 pages three times and just couldn't bust through the rest of it. But no, I didn't make it with that intention at all. Again, it wasn't to be as much counter anything as it was to be for something. You know, it was really about I think that one way we change things is to offer a vision of the world that's sexier, if you will, that's more beautiful, that's more enjoyable, that's more powerful. So, you know, I wanted to offer these principles, which are the beginning of a vision, I think, that can really work for everybody.
Okay. And do you think the mental illness and the world is still growing, or do you think that with like movements like the Arab Spring and Occupy, that it's receding and that love and cooperation are growing?
I actually think that love and cooperation are growing and have been growing for a long time, and that's why you see movements, even certain movements that are angry, you know, that have a lot of anger in them, that may be counter movements, because you know the saying is when a body is dying off, it kicks the hardest. So. You know, if you look at a book like Empathic Civilization by Jeremy Rifkin, he looks at the history of our species and shows this, that empathy really is the truest story that you can tell, empathy and cooperation about our species. And then he goes to a number of things. You know, we all think war is increasing. Well, it's actually decreasing. You know, we look at something that we take for granted, at least in our country, that women have the right to vote, and we're close to giving them an equal participation in our culture. We're not quite there yet, but just, you know, 80 or 100 years ago, they couldn't vote. They were originally, you know, viewed as, you know, almost property of the men, and the same thing with African Americans. And those things have all shifted, you know, and it kind of goes by, you know. I was on the freeway the other day coming home, and it hit me. Like, nobody sees the, even driving, as one incredible act of cooperation. You think about how many cooperative acts have to go into just driving home. It's incredible that everybody stays in their lane relatively, you know, everybody's going relatively the speed limit, what they've been told, they've registered their cars, they've gotten their smog checked or whatever the rules are. We're all cooperating. Even when we compete with each other, people don't realize how much we're in cooperation. Just to see a race, you know, man against man, are hundreds of thousands of acts of cooperation where people have decided, okay, these are going to be the rules, and we're going to meet at this time, and we're going to make this deal with this network to broadcast it, and we're going to drive and get in the car, and we're going to all have some food together. It's all cooperation, you know. But we tell the story right of the aberration, you know, and that's where we have to just look. These, we're telling the story of what's not our basis, because it's the aberration. We tell the story of the car that's stolen, not all of the driving that's in cooperation.
Right.
Thank
you so much for coming on, and thanks for making the film. You're amazing. Yo, the film's amazing. And
I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you, brother. I hope to meet you someday. You're the reason we did this, and we feel that something is happening because it's touching folks like you. So thank you, man.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you very much. And I appreciate you turning me onto this movie. You know, Tom, I've got to tell you, the Occupy movements that are happening all over the country right now, fit very neatly into a lot of the message that I am conveys. And you speak and you capture in a remarkable way this consensus decision making that you talk about. And that is that really does encapsulate what you call the counter protest that's going on right now. This Occupy movement very much is about consensus building. It's the very foundation of what they are beginning to. I mean, we're talking about a movement that's less than 8 weeks old, and yet in that short amount of time, because of this vibration, this spiritual energy that I don't think people even recognize what it is yet, it has brought us to a place very quickly that we wouldn't have a year ago thought possible.
Yeah, well, Occupy Wall Street obviously is a movement that is being, it's being fueled by a problem that we all can feel. Even those who oppose the Occupy Wall Street movement, I think, can feel that there's something off. There's something broken in our economy. There's something off when so many people can't afford basic medical coverage and to feed their families. And the movement speaks very well to that something is off. And I think the movement is still forming and finding, again, that more beatific vision. I don't think the problem exists personally simply in Wall Street. I think Wall Street is a manifestation of each of our own, the energy that's in each of us. When we heal that energy, the manifestation that is Wall Street, I think, will lose its power and diminish. Wall Street only is fueled by us. It's fueled by our investments. It's fueled by what we care about. And when we shift what we care about, what we invest in, whether it's with our money or our time or our talents, Wall Street is going to shift. It's only an outgrowth of that energy.
All right.
The energy for so long has been, how much can I get?
And we have to take a quick break here. Tom Shadyac, state where you're at. We will come back. There's so much more to get to. IamTheDoc.com.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best of edition of First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back with more great clips and interviews in just a bit.
Greenwashing. That's the use of shameless PR campaigns by notorious polluters to portray their corporations as benign, Bambi-loving protectors of nature. But now comes greedwashing. And who's in greater need of a greed bath than Wall Street banksters? So, splish splash and rub-a-dub, here came J.P. Morgan Chase with a holiday season PR campaign intended to scrub off its greed. The message was that Chase is not merely a bailed-out, fee-grubbing casino huckster, but a generous philanthropist that wants only to benefit humanity. Rather than simply presenting this image makeover in an ad, however, Chase created a two-hour television special on NBC devoted to itself. Called the American Giving Awards, the show profiled community groups that had received charitable contributions from the Wall Street Bank. Isn't that just precious? If any viewers miss the point that Chase is not really a financial behemoth but a bunch of big-hearted bankers who give away money, the show was spiked with 8 30-second commercials about the bank, plus frequent reminders that the altruism being displayed was presented by Chase. Well, actually, this two-hour greed wash was also presented by us taxpayers, for the cost of the show and the donations to the groups are all deductible from the corporation's income taxes. Yet, we got no credit for our help. Probably an oversight. But the cheesiest part of the whole fraud is that the total amount of Chase's magnanimous donations to the five groups was $2 million. Come on, this outfit had $104 billion in revenues in the past year and showered its CEO with $23 million in pay, including a $5 million cash bonus. This is Jim Hightower saying, at J.P. Morgan Chase, charity really does begin at home.
Hightower's commentary is brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown. From Wall Street to Washington, this monthly newsletter reveals who's doing what to whom and why. Check it out, HightowerLowdown.org.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special Best Of edition of First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to the clips and interviews.
Director, producer Tom Shadyac is with me. His documentary, I Am. I believe I Am is an opportunity. Well, it's beyond an opportunity. I believe that it is a critical piece of a puzzle that is not really that difficult. It's like one of those kids' puzzles that has big pieces to it, and you can look at all the pieces and see what the picture is. Here's what I Am does that no other documentary or film that I've ever experienced does. It gives us an opportunity to explore the sense of optimism that's in all of us. I think Tom Shadyac, what really what profoundly affected me, I've watched it now four times, and I think it's one of those movies that you need to watch again and again and again, because you grow from each viewing. From each viewing, you come to accept or understand something that you either didn't understand before, or it just kind of sprouts something in you, and that's really what it does for me. And so, as I looked at this film and wondered, what do you do with this? You know, Tom, for years I would go to film festivals with my radio show, and I would interview all these wonderful directors and movie stars, and it was always the documentary people that I would end up hanging out with in the bar at the end of the day when everything else is done, because these were the people that couldn't put it away. They couldn't, you know, put it on a shelf at the end of the day and move on. Is I Am one of those movies that will never completely be done for you, if you understand what I mean by that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Because it is, I Am, as the title suggests, is about taking responsibility for the energy that you put out in the world and your participation in helping to heal this world and creating something new. So, we had a very similar journey. I used to go to this film festival, which really helped to wake me up. It's called Mountain Film and Telluride, and it's a documentary film festival. And I, of course, have been to, you know, other narrative film festivals, because I'm in the narrative world, making Ace Ventura, Nutty Professor, Liar Liar, etc. And this documentary film festival was so full of passion, and the people were doing such good work. The filmmakers weren't just making films, quote-unquote. They were doing the work. They were out there helping to heal, you know, disparities of wealth, and helping to heal places of in the natural world that had been poisoned. And it was their life. And it was that unification, that integrity that so moved me. And I hope that that is what I represent now, is a life that is more unified. And it's not over. I'll hang this phone up, and I'm going to start writing a book that are about these principles, and I'll be speaking somewhere shortly that are about these principles. And the films that I'm trying to make now in my business are, again, about these principles.
Well, and certainly none of that comes as a surprise to me. I have to, and this, by the way, this film is filled with remarkable people, and the reason that I'm not getting into some of the nitty-gritty, and folks, I want you to experience this movie for the first time whole. I want it to be something that you just, I'm asking you to trust me. Watch, you know, get the movie, watch the movie, and experience this movie. There's so much there that to give any of it away seems to me to be cheating you. That's just the way I feel. But Tom Shadyac, I have to ask you a question, because one of the things that I got out of this, and one of the things that kind of has been pushing inside of me, you know, is that thing that we call truth. What does truth mean to you?
Wow.
Well, yeah, so at least you know I was paying attention.
We'll be back with the meaning of life after this. You know, it's one of those things like the scent of a rose that's very hard to describe, but I think we know it when we experience it. So when I say, love is the most powerful force in the universe. I believe I'm espousing a truth. And again, it's one of those things that sounds may sound utopian, and yet we've all experienced it. We all experienced 9/11, which was an act with so much hate and division behind it. And I won't get into why that act happened, but the love that came out of that act was so tangibly more powerful for me than the hate that went in. New York was just thick in the air with love. I was there shortly thereafter, and I lost friends in 9/11. And it was so thick and palpable, and the beauty that was being born from that fertilizer, if you will, that hateful act, that to me is a truth. And it's a truth that I think, because of the vision of society we have today, that we're all broken, we are told that by our religions, that we're all competitive, that it's a dog-eat-dog world, we miss that truth. So I think a truth is something that, the truth is something that created everything. You know, I think it was Thoreau that said, above everything, give me truth, even above love, because love is truth. So truth, I think we know it when we experience it.
Well, you know, it's interesting, Tom, because as I was exploring the movie I Am, because it's something that you don't just watch. It kind of explores you, and you explore it. You have a relationship with this film that isn't like anything I have ever seen. And the more you watch it, the greater that relationship seems to be in your life. It certainly gives it more significance. And this is something that my staff here at the show will appreciate. After one of the viewings of I Am, I decided to start doing a feature on a daily basis called First Word. And what I do is I just come up with a word and I define what it means. And then it kind of has a theme throughout the show. And I've been doing that every day now for a few months. And that was born out of this idea that I got from the film that there's something more authentic I need to be doing with this program. There was missing an authenticity, and not that that was the end all and be all, but it was certainly an element that I had not discovered before.
Well, that's beautiful, and again, that's the greatest compliment you can give an artist. And I think authenticity is a great deal of what the movie is about. It's a great deal of what I discovered on my journey, is to be more authentic. The word authenticity comes from the same word that we get the word author. And I think many of us are not the author of our own lives. And I even realized that about myself, that part of the story I was telling had been given to me. It wasn't what was true for me. My society had given me certain ideas. And that's where it really gets, you get on shaky ground when you watch a film like this, because it calls into question so many things that we take for granted. You know, every day the way we talk about economy, this film kind of blows apart. Because our economy was invented. It hasn't always been this way. There are many cultures that did it differently. And when you look at the principles of our economy, they are absolutely unsustainable. And that's why nobody can fix it now. We keep looking at how are we going to fix it. And it's rotten at the principle level. It's rotten. It doesn't exist in nature. Nothing thrives in nature by doing the economy the way we do the economy. So the film really shakes people. You know, at the core, as I was shaken, I had to look back at my life. And Emerson has this saying, Ralph Waldo Emerson, that we put in the film, which is a whole generation has gone to their graves thinking that they were helping the situation when they were actually a part of hurting it, the destruction. He said it more eloquently than that. I forget the exact words, but that's what I realized about my own life. The way I had done business, the way I had approached business, getting so much for myself, which I was taught. I was taught that that's success. It really tore that asunder, and I had to call that into question. And my life was, you know, sitting inside of the hypocrisies, and I couldn't even see it. The person who's moved me more in my life than anyone is Jesus, and that I don't say that in a dogmatic or religious way, but the moral teachings and the power I felt in this life. And he said, don't even store up treasures on earth, you know? Don't store up treasures where moth and rust destroy. And my culture taught me, store up as much as you can, dude. You know, put as much in that bank account as you can. Take care of yourself. Then maybe you can step out and do some good things with it. But take care of yourself first. That's the opposite message that any of our mystics and teachers tell us.
Well, we have to take a break here in just a minute. One of the, of course, wonders of radio is you take too many breaks, but we have to do it. Tom, I write a journal every day. And after one of the viewings of I Am, I wrote and I dug it up and made a copy of it and brought it in. A very simple passage in my journal that day. And I wrote, I wonder if Tom Shadyac was afraid of everything that he never wanted to be and then became. I wondered if this fear that maybe he doesn't even recognize he had, I can hear it in his voice, I can see it in his actions, and it all disappears when he starts to explore a greater world. I don't know how he filmed this movie, but I have a feeling that he shifted 180 degrees from the time he began this thing to the time it ended. I wonder if there's something in that message that's meant for me as well. Was there fear there, Tom?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the fear was palpable. In fact, I was so afraid of the ideas that were animating me and of becoming more authentic, speaking about these things, living these things more fully, that it took a knock on my head by the universe that I believe I participated in, that I called into my life, to knock me out of my fear, if you will, which exists in your head. Your head is what's fearful. It knocked me right into my heart. Your head is what says, oh, you can't do this. Are you crazy? Everybody's going to think you're crazy. You're going to, if you give all your money away, you're going to starve. You're going to die. And I like what Martin Luther King said, which is, if you don't do the right thing and stand up at the right thing at 30, you may live to be 80, but you were spiritually dead at 30. And I didn't want to be spiritually dead. Yes, we all have that fear, and that's, if we look at that fear, it's really illusory, because what exists underneath all of us, we all have infinity and starlight in us. We are made of the same stuff that created the universe. Everything we see outside of us is in us. You know, that's why Emerson said the world globes itself in a drop of dew, meaning it's all in us.
All right, we gotta take that quick break here, Tom. No, that's
all
right.
I'll get off the pulpit.
Not too far. We're going to hop back on here in about 3.5 minutes. I'm Tony Trupiano, Tom Shadyac, my guest. IamTheDoc.com is the website you want to go to. We'll be back and wrap it up on the other side of this.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best-of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back with more great clips and interviews in just a bit.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best-of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to the clips and interviews.
Documentary, I Am. You know, Tom, let me ask you, is it available on DVD? Is it for sale on DVD yet, or is it still traveling the country?
It is, we're taking pre-orders now. It will be available on DVD, the first of the year. I believe the date is January 3rd. You can go on Amazon, though, and pre-order. It's on video on demand in December, and it'll be on, the Oprah Winfrey Network, coming up in January as well.
All right. What's in store for you moving forward?
You said it already. I'm in this conversation. So, I have a talk show I may host, so we can, again, take questions about this and all grow in this together. I've been in discussions with the Oprah Winfrey Network about this for a while. It may be there, maybe elsewhere. I'm trying to make films. Some are comedies, some are more dramatic, again, that further this conversation. And I'm writing a book. I got a book deal from a publishing group called Hay House that deals with a lot of authors, in the ideas or spiritual vein.
Luis Hay is a blessing to the universe.
Yeah. Luis is a beautiful, positive light, and she's got, people like Wayne Dyer, Marianne Williamson, and they saw the film, and we had a conversation, and they're excited about, us putting forth a book about it. So I'm in it, man. I'm in it every day. I'm in the thick of it, and And it's beautiful. I meet beautiful people like yourself and your callers, and it's happening. You know, that wall fell, it's fallen recently in the Middle East, the Berlin Wall fell and nobody saw it coming. And, this wall between each other is going to fall, I think it's going to happen quickly. It's going to be a tipping point, and then it's all going to change. And there'll still be problems, but we're going to greet them in a different way.
All right, just trying to get a lot in here in the little time we have left. I'd like you to speak briefly about your dad and the work that he committed his life to, because it's important work, and it certainly merits discussion.
Yeah, it's St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. My dad helped found it with comic Danny Thomas, and that hospital treats kids with cancer for free. Everybody at that hospital, just about everyone, could make more money if they went out into, quote-unquote, the free market, but they get wealthy a different way, and that is by offering love, medicine, their skill set to healing. And it's a beautiful place, and that's what taught me that model, because that model exists, and other models like it, even like Paul Newman's Newman's Own, a group called Invisible Children, which is ending the longest-running war in Africa. These models exist where people are finding a truer wealth than what we find in what we've created in the business world. And that model, of course, people support because they find a power there. St. Jude raises $750 million a year, and they give it all away to research and to curing kids with cancer for free. And people are so generous because they're moved by that kind of work, and that kind of work moves me.
Yeah, don't question, and it's critical. It's critical work. As we wrap things up here today, and I don't know. I don't want to let you go, but I have to. Just the time's up, and you need to move on. I need to move on. You have radically altered the way, in so many ways, the way that I put this show together on a daily basis. I now weigh things with a different kind of scale, and I would hope that my audience sees that in what I bring to them on a daily basis. But Tom Shadyk, I think it's important for all of us to remember, at a time where we have, especially in this country, such a great divide politically. We are at each other nonstop. We have in some parts of the country next week elections. We have the presidential election next year. The conversation, I don't like where the conversation is right now. And this idea that we actually have more in common than not in common seems to be lost in the political arena. But that doesn't mean we should give up, does it?
No, it doesn't. Look, anger has its place. But if it turns to bitterness, that's like, there's a Buddhist saying, it's like holding a hot coal and waiting to throw it at someone, you get burned in the process. I find the most powerful thing that we can do is to create something that is more beautiful. So rather than pointing that finger out, as our moral teachers have told us, let's look at, and instead of pointing at the speck in our brother's eye, let's look at what's in our own eye and create something more beautiful. And so that's where I think the energy really gets effective and efficient. And then those people who see things differently than we do are going to be like moths attracted to a light. But we have to bring light with what we do. And as soon as we say, you're doing something wrong, we've turned a person almost automatically, instinctively, into a defense mechanism. They're going to be defensive. That's going to create an energy that's going to come back. As soon as we say something like, I see things differently, but look at what I am doing. Look at the people that are working with me. Look at the business that I'm creating. Look at the model I'm creating. That no longer says the other person is wrong. It invites them into the conversation. Oh, wait a minute. Let me see that. Let me see that St. Jude Children's Research Hospital that you just came up with. Wow, you've cured this many people. You've touched this many people. You see, St. Jude didn't have to go out and say, hey, all you other businesses that are making a profit are wrong. They went out and did something more powerful, and now it's a beacon. So I think we all need to be more of a beacon. And again, that's why the film is called I Am. It's the only true revolution as Thomas Merton said, he's a 20th century mystic, is the personal revolution.
Yeah. Let me tell you, Tom Shadyac, you are a beacon. You are a shining light. I don't know how our paths cross again. I pray they do and just trust that the universe will take care of that. In the meantime, I've enjoyed this discussion way too much, and I'm already missing you, and I mean that. You know, I love what I do. I truly, I am doing what I'm supposed to be doing. God perfectly placed me where I'm at right now, and I'm blessed for that. I don't often get a chance to have this kind of discussion on the show, so I want to thank you for giving me that. The best of luck to you. Wherever your path takes you, you are and indeed are making a difference, and I can't thank you enough for the time you gave us this morning.
Well, I thank you, and I want one pledge from you that I get to interview you someday, because I'm so interested in how this film touched you and the courage that you've had to shift your life. So I appreciate you and everything you're out there trying to do, brother.
Absolutely. The blessings to Harold. Thank him again for this. I'll get a message off to him, but God bless you and have a great day today.
All right, brother. Peace. Say hi to Tom Hartman for us.
I will. Thank you. Tom Shadyac, just an incredibly gifted and intelligent human being.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special Best Of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to the clips and interviews.
And kind of a stunning reversal yesterday. And I got to tell you, the legislation that I'm about to tell you about, which was House Bill 4326, made no sense to me when it was proposed by the Republicans. Jeff Farrington, I believe, initially proposed it in the House. And the governor vetoed it yesterday, which was a really pleasant surprise. Joining me now to kind of help me make sense of this, because I'm a little bit discombobulated now. The governor actually did the right thing. I'm not used to that. Is Carla Swift, president of the Michigan AFL-CIO. Carla, Merry Christmas to you. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Hey, Tony, good morning. Happy holidays to you.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm pleasantly surprised that the governor did the right thing. I understand that you actually sent the governor a letter asking him to veto this legislation. Is that correct?
Yes, we did. You know, this legislation, House Bill 4326, would have prohibited the state from issuing any regulations that were that would create a standard more stringent than the federal law, unless authorized by the legislature. So really, it sort of would say that there's nothing special about Michigan compared with any other state, and it would open the door to rolling back important workplace safety standards and environmental protections that have really served Michigan very well and have made it a great place to live and work.
Well, and again, it's let me just get your reaction to the governor's vetoing this legislation.
We applaud the governor. We are happy that he has provided this leadership. We're counting on his leadership to preserve Michigan's right to protect our families and our workers and our national resources. And, you know, this is really a victory for workers and anybody who cares about the environment and the Great Lakes. But the bill represents another power grab by the legislature and corporate special interests. This one was so extreme that even the governor couldn't support it, and we're extremely pleased that he stepped up and used the veto on this one.
You know, this is reminiscent, and I'm trying to remember a few years back legislation that had this not been in place, I want to say it was phosphorus, but there was something to do with laundry detergent, and one of the byproducts of that, and without the proper protections, you know, we would have really cost the Great Lakes a great deal in erosion and pollution. Why would, you know, Carla Swift, you got to ask the obvious question, you know, when you're thinking about Republicans putting legislation like this together, why would they be willing to give up the one resource that is pristine and wonderful and precious, the Great Lakes? They were willing to give up that protection, and I can't wrap my head around that.
Yeah. Well, you know, we think that it's just really another item on the business lobby's wish list, and it's, you know, demonstrates not a great deal of thoughtfulness on the part of the folks who proposed and supported this kind of legislation. It really, the federal regulations are written with no accounting for protecting things like the Great Lakes, which the states around the Great Lakes then have to step up and take steps to protect as the world's most important freshwater resources. So, the Lansing politicians, many elected officials that are in Lansing today are maybe don't have the history, don't have the memory, don't have sort of our tradition of leading the nation in mind, and they're acting, you know, on an agenda that is really not for and about the people of Michigan.
Yeah, the brilliance of what you just said, Carla, the memory. You know, we talk about, you know, one of the things that when we think about term limits is we lose institutional memory. And when you turn over a legislature like we are now doing in the state of Michigan, often that memory is critical to making decisions. And who takes the time? You have to ask yourself the question, Carla Swift, you know, amongst our legislature, who takes the time to do research and to think about what happened one or two or even three decades ago? Because we no longer have politicians that have been around 20 or 30 years. And so the brilliance of that statement is right, 100% right on. You're right. People don't have the memory, and this is why it's critical that we're very, very deliberate in how we design legislation moving forward.
I think that's right, and it really does. You know, the experience of the folks that are sent to Lansing. And their experience in the lawmaking process and the understanding, you know, the purpose of rules and regulations and how we got to where we are, and knowing enough about that really affects the quality of decisions that they are able to make, and it's an extremely important job, and it requires a lot of thought and study, and sometimes we don't have folks that are putting that kind of effort into those decisions, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, again, this is ultimately very good news that the Governor Snyder vetoed House Bill 4326, effectively giving the state the right to protect itself and it's our natural resources and how precious that they are. Carla, oftentimes, you know, we need to remind this audience that water is a commodity, and there are others around the country that want that commodity.
Absolutely, yeah, and we need to remind ourselves also that the federal regulations really were set for the 50 states, many of whom don't have this precious freshwater natural resource that we have around the Great Lakes, and it really does the decisions that Lansing makes about protecting those things or not protecting those things. Those are decisions that could jeopardize public health. And not only jeopardize public health, but jeopardize also Michigan's commercial and sport fishing industry. So there's a lot at stake here.
Yeah, there absolutely is. Well, Carla Swift, thank you so much for spending some time and helping us clarify the importance of this. And this is a big deal. And I want people to understand that, you know, the governor can do the right thing. Let's hope we can now get him to continue to do that with other issues that matter dearly to us. And what little time we have left legislatively before the end of the year, but I'm sure we'll be talking before the end of the year. In the meantime, happy holidays to you, and thanks again for your time this morning.
Thank you, Tony. Thanks for all the work that you're doing, and happy holidays to you and all our listeners out there.
All right, thanks so much. Carla Swift again, president of the Michigan AFL-CIO.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best-of edition of First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back with more great clips and interviews in just a bit.
This is a special announcement from Lumber Liquidators.
We're making deals on every floor in every store. If it's in stock, it's on sale. But you must take possession before close of business tomorrow. Plus, get extended special financing on top-name laminate flooring from just 29 cents. Beautiful bamboo flooring starting at $149. All 12-millimeter laminate with free pad from just $1.99. Every floor in every Lumber Liquidator store is on sale. Just take possession before close of business tomorrow when this offer ends.
This holiday, Chevy's giving more. Get more savings on your favorite 2012 Chevy vehicles like the fuel-efficient EPA-estimated 42 mpg Cruise Echo or Traverse that seats up to 8 passengers, not to mention the truck that gets things done, Silverado. Hurry in and get the best savings of the season before January 3rd.
Are your kids on the computer all day? Pulling the power cord can get them onto the playground. Creative Moms can keep kids active and healthy. Get ideas at letsmove.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9, right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. CNN News is next.
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. Leading the news this hour, the Republican presidential candidates are pulling out their best sales pitches as the Iowa caucuses are just 4 days away now. CNN's Lisa Desjardins is in Des Moines and joins us live. Lisa?
That's right. Temperatures are dropping here in Des Moines, but campaign activity picking up in these last days. In fact, every Republican candidate except John Huntsman will be here today, many of them focusing more on the big cities now, not so many stops in the small towns, as they want to get more ears and more attention for their message in these last hours of campaigning. Reporting live, Lisa Desjardins, CNN, Des Moines.
The Cairo offices of two American organizations were raided by Egyptian officials who claim they may be receiving illegal foreign money. Julie Hughes works for one of those groups, the National Democratic Institute. She says she doesn't have any idea why there's suddenly a problem.
The NDI is an American organization that applied for registration in Egypt in 2005 and has been working here since then. We are a little mystified.
Deputies in Shannon, North Carolina raided a butterball plant after an animal rights group claimed turkeys were being abused at the facility. Nathan Runkle, executive director of Mercy for Animals, says they had an activist working undercover at the plant for 3 weeks.
We found that animal abuse was the norm at this Butterball facility and that there was a culture of cruelty and neglect. And we feel that Butterball should be held criminally accountable for those acts.
Butterball says it has a zero-tolerance policy for any mistreatment of their birds. Security in Times Square will be the priority for New York Police Department this weekend as crowds pack the streets to ring in the new year. CNN's Susan Candiotti reports security preparations are in high gear.
They will have security officers manning land, sea, and air posts, including even helicopters with infrared capabilities. They will have 16 checkpoints with metal detectors.
And hundreds of thousands of people are expected in Times Square for the New Year's celebration. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
With the price of stamps increasing, sending mail was getting more and more expensive. So in order to save some money, I've trained this crew of carrier pigeons to deliver my mail for me. Do they always get it right? Nope. Do my letters make it on time? That would be nope. Do they sometimes get lost? You got that one right. But who has two thumbs and isn't buying stamps? This guy, that's who.
There's an easier way to save. Get online. Go to Geico.com. Get a quote. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
The year is quickly coming to a close, so now the time to prepare for the new one. Hurry into Sears Auto Center this week to save big on all top tire brands. Plus, get an extra $70 via mail-in rebate on 4 qualifying Michelin tires. And get a Valvoline oil change for just $21.99 with coupon, and we'll throw in a $5 Sears coupon to help you tackle the rest of your holiday shopping list while you wait. Go to SearsAuto.com for more money-saving offers and coupons. That's real deals for real drivers. Sears Auto Center. Sale and rebate ends 1-3. Coupon good through 12/31. Exclusions apply. See store for details.
It still may be something special in the air, but American Airlines soon will be nothing in the New York Stock Exchange. Shares of parent company AMR's stock will be delisted next week, following a month in which AMR shares consistently have traded below the $1 level. A perk of some high-end luxury cars is coming to the midsize family sedan. Ford Motor Company will unveil its new Fusion at January's Detroit Auto Show, equipped with a drowsy driver warning system. It uses cameras. If you veer too close to the edge of your lane without your turn signal on, it rattles your car as if you're driving on rumble strips. Chronically drowsy drivers get chimed at, and a warning icon shaped like a coffee cup lights up. One more day to go for Wall Street this year, and barring a 1.5% rally for the NASDAQ, indexes look to finish the year mixed. S&P futures right now up 2 points, NASDAQ futures up 3 points, Dow futures tacking on just 7 points, with one day to go. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
On average, a smoker will die 15 to 20 years earlier than a non-smoker.
Quit risking your life. Quit spending all your hard-earned money. Quit worrying about dirty looks. Take your freedom back and switch to American Blue Tip, the hassle-free electronic cigarette that looks, feels, and tastes just like the real thing. You won't even miss cigarettes.
Call 1-800-822-7794. That's 1-800-822-7794. Call 1-800-822-7794.
The best part of running my small business? Definitely spending hours on payroll.
I like being my own boss, but I love learning about tax codes.
I started this whole restaurant as an excuse to do payroll paperwork.
Ah, the joys of payroll. Hours spent on paperwork that should be spent on your business. That's why over a million small business owners use Intuit Payroll. It makes paying employees and filing tax forms quick and easy. See for yourself with a 30-day free trial of Intuit Payroll. Learn more at payroll.com.
Becky, thanks for calling.
Oh, no problem.
Lyle, honey, it's time to go home.
DoubleMySpeed.com.
What is that he keeps saying?
DoubleMySpeed.com.
DoubleMySpeed.com.
What is that?
Oh, this amazing site.
Lyle logged on to DoubleMySpeed.com, got a free comprehensive diagnosis, and within minutes, he knew exactly what was slowing down our PC.
Wow.
Anyway, DoubleMySpeed.com removed dangerous spyware and a virus.
No kidding.
They cleaned our computer remotely and restored it to peak performance.
DoubleMySpeed.com. DoubleMySpeed.com.
We know, Lyle. He's so excited about DoubleMySpeed.com that he wanders the neighborhood to spread the word. But the only thing he can say is DoubleMySpeed.com at double speed.
Gee, I wonder if Don knows about DoubleMySpeed.com.
Oh, Lyle sent him an email.
Don, do you know about
DoubleMySpeed.com? DoubleMySpeed.com?
DoubleMySpeed.com? Get your free diagnosis at DoubleMySpeed.com and within minutes, find out what's slowing down your PC.
DoubleMySpeed.com?
Guess it was a group email.
Get your free diagnosis today. DoubleMySpeed.com. Your PC like new again.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to First Shift. I'm Jeff Radford, and today I'm bringing you simply the best clips and most recent clips of First Shift with Tony Truffiano. Interviews, segments, thoughts, conversations that have sparked a lot of feedback. We thank you so much for listening and being part of the show, being part of our lives, and we hope you enjoy the show. From all of us to all of you, we hope you have a safe and happy holiday season. But now, on to the clips.
Pleasure to be with you this morning. Let me, as I promised you, I'm going to have Bob King with us in just a second. I want to let you know, though, before we do that, that yesterday I was given a gift. I spent the better part of my morning yesterday with the brothers and sisters of my adopted fraternity, my union fraternity. The UAW, Local 174, stuffing food baskets for those that are needy in Southeast Michigan. One of the people of the hundreds that were there, a couple hundred people there to help, was none other than my next guest. Joining me now is the president of the United Auto Workers, Bob King. And Bob, I got to tell you, what a gift that was yesterday to be a part of that amazing display of solidarity and to give back to so many. It was really a beautiful morning.
It was great. It was great. It was really especially meaningful because it was the 50th year that Clarence Contrato had been part of and really organized this annual giving food boxes to needy members of the UAW who have been laid off or members of the community out of work, and the need was so much greater. Is so much greater this year, and they did an amazing job.
Yeah, 250
baskets.
Yeah, 250 baskets. I got to tell you that what amazed me about Clarence Bob was that no matter all these accolades are coming at him, he got all kinds of awards, and all what did he care about? About everybody getting to work. I mean, that's what he cared about.
Right. That's great.
Anyway, it was great to see you yesterday, and I'm so glad that I was able to take part in that, and certainly, you know, Bob, it's interesting as we take a look at the year 2011. The UAW has a great deal to be thankful for. As Mark Brewer just said, and paid you a wonderful compliment. Certainly through your leadership, we found out what happened when people are willing to work together. And in your case, people meant some very important people internationally, Bob.
You know, the only way, in my view, that you're going to maintain a middle-class standard of living for UAW members is to bring others up to our level, not us, not take our members down to the lower middle-class or poverty level that a lot of the world is, a lot of our own country is. And the only way you're going to do that is through collective bargaining. And we showed, I think, in the auto bargaining and in gaming and in ag-emp, and the state employees insurance, all the contracts we did last year, we really worked together with employers to create more jobs in the U.S., to be more efficient, higher quality. Workers have the greatest interest in the success of the company, more than shareholders, more than CEOs, shareholders. Everybody else comes and goes. Workers are there. It's their livelihood. It's their retirement security. And so workers want to have a real voice in providing the best service or the best product. And we were able to get a number of employers who understood that. Some employers don't. Some employers want to just dictate, and then they end up giving lesser quality products and services. If they'll work together with their workers and give their workers a real voice, they come out with better products and overall better success.
Now, months ago I was at a rally that you were at, and you gave me what I thought was the keenest the slogan I had heard, and really kind of set the table for me as I was about to get ready to do the show. And you had said that the budgets are a moral document.
Right.
And Bob, recently you wrote a piece called "The Republican Agenda is Wrecking America." I juxtapose those two things, and it breaks my heart to see what's happening to our country. And I wonder, and I pray, I truly do. I get on my knees, Bob King, and I pray for a state and a country and communities that that will learn to transcend the pettiness of politics and begin to heal this country from whatever it is it feels it needs to be so hateful right now. But there is such vitriol towards other peoples right now and our neighbors. And Bob, it makes no sense to me.
It really doesn't. Dr. Martin Luther King, Archbishop Tutu, a lot of great leaders, Archbishop Romero, and El Salvador, all said that that there is not revenge. A Christian doesn't have a revenge. Revenge for a Christian is conversion of the other person. And what we want to do in society really is because I think there is a strong spiritual basis for a lot of people in their beliefs in the United States, but their actions don't coincide with their beliefs. How they vote isn't coinciding with their beliefs. If you really believe in any of the spiritual doctrines, whether it's Christianity, which is what I believe, or whether it's Buddhism or Muslim or whatever, all the major religions talk about the responsibility to care for those who are most in need. And our government right now, or at least the Republican and the conservative portion of governments across this country, they're cutting, taxing pensions, cutting K-12 education, increasing property taxes. All these things on working class people. I just heard coming in this morning, the Republican Congress, the House of Representatives, John Boehner said they're not going to pass this 2-month extension. That's going to put a tax on every middle class working person in America. And it's all about politics. And you're right, because they want to permanently extend the Bush tax cuts for the wealthiest. If you vote Republican, just be aware of this. You may have a lot of reasons for doing it, but be aware you're voting to make the rich richer. And if that's what you believe in, then that's your democratic right. Do it. But if you believe in a more egalitarian, fair society, then, and Democrats aren't perfect. They're not. But at least if you're given two choices, which one is going to work more in the interest of the common person, more in the interest of the whole society, rather than just one group? And the Democrats, for all their flaws, are definitely going to do that. And so, to me, this 2012 election coming up is critically important.
No, there's no question. And certainly the UAW, like many labor unions, are actively involved in the process of elections through the CAP program, through recruiting candidates, through so many different efforts, Bob King. It probably has never been more important than it will be in 2012. And, I recently was asked to participate in a program this January at Region 1 to help, kind of solidify the idea of what, political activism means and what we need to do to, include more and more people. I suggest, and I've been suggesting this for months now, that if you're in a union, you need to get closer to that union. If you want change, union is the best way to find that change. I don't know that that's any truer than it is at the UAW, Bob.
No, I mean, that is totally true. The path for working people to have a real voice in society is their unions. And unions are human institutions. They make mistakes. And the only way that working people can have a real voice is to get active in your union. Help your union be better and better. The more members that are active, the more members that are involved, the stronger the union is, the more democratic the union is. So I would really encourage all members, whether they're in the UAW or AFSCME or steelworkers, whoever, that being active in your union is the best way to maintain democracy and to maintain your middle-class standard of living, or build your middle-class standard of living. If you don't have one today, then you want to get active in your union. If you don't have a union, then you want to be part of organizing your workplace to give workers a collective voice.
No, there's no question that's true. You know, it's interesting, and let me leave you a little bit with this, Bob. I appreciate everything that you've done for all of your membership. You would given that list, whether it's auto workers or people that work in casinos or UAW Local 6000 and many other workers. You've had an incredibly successful year, and certainly working with leadership, global leadership, to make sure that the middle class is protected. I certainly want to thank you for bringing jobs back to the United States, something that most thought was a crazy idea. You made that work. Bob, you've done so many things. My prayer is that God keeps you safe, because I think we need you next year more than we even needed you this year, as it comes to leading us politically, as you led us from a business standpoint this year. We certainly need you next year politically, and so we want to pray for good rest for you. That's necessary. We need you to get some rest, and you need to know that there's an army of people working on behalf of the things that you care about as well, Bob.
Well, you know, we're blessed. It is about all of us working together. It's not about one individual. It's about all of us. And the UAW, as you know, we've got a great team of officers and regional directors and local leaders. There is a huge commitment institutionally that we're gonna win economic and social justice for people in America, and that means being very active politically. It means great efforts at organizing. I'm really excited about, I think, the positive results you'll see from organizing in 2012 in the UAW and a lot of other unions. We're in many broad coalitions, and probably most important is that we rebuild the social and economic justice movement here in the United States. Whether you're environmentalist, whether you're civil rights organizations, women organizations, immigrant organizations, anybody who cares about making a better world and cares about and thinks that every individual human being has value, we've got to come together. Because if you go back to FDR, which is, in my view, the greatest amount of social legislation, progressive social legislation, was passed during his presidency, and it was only because there was a movement of people demanding it. Some people blame President Obama that we didn't get enough accomplished over the last 4 years. I blame ourselves.
No, we
weren't out there creating the pressure from the bottom up, and that's what we have to do.
Well, that's what 2012 brings us. Happy holidays to you. The blessings of this season. We'll look forward to visiting with you again in 2012, Bob.
Thanks, Tony. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks. Blessings to you. A quick break here.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best of edition of First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back with more great clips and interviews in just a bit.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
And joining us now is Cheryl Witten, the president of the Michigan Advisory Board for Blessings in a Backpack.
Blessings in a Backpack is a national organization. This teacher was concerned because she had kids in her school who came back from the weekend tired and hungry and by no means ready to learn. These children are on the free and reduced lunch program. program during school week, but no one thought, what happens to these children when they go home on Friday? So I came up with a very simple idea, let's pack a backpack with food to take home with them on Friday, and they would return their backpack on Monday to be refilled.
All right, so if I contact blessingsinabackpackmi.org, how do I get involved?
There is a page to make a donation, and then we as the Michigan Board will determine where the greatest need is.
Blessingsinabackpackmi.org.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best of edition of First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to the clips and interviews.
I've been teasing this next segment. We're going to get to that right now. If I were to tell you that there were a candidate for the presidency that had executive experience, legislative experience, private sector experience, successfully is running a bank that is profitable, did not need the federal government to come in and bail it out, maybe a little more conservative than some of you would be comfortable with, but is level-headed, has been both a Democrat and a Republican, has served his country and his state numerous times throughout his adult life, Harvard-educated, by all intents and purposes, a serious, legitimate candidate for the presidency. Would you not say the Republicans, and by the way, he's the Republicans would be lucky to have them based on what we currently have. Now, tomorrow, as many of you know, the Republican candidates for the presidency will be coming to Oakland University to debate. They will not have my next guest amongst them. And that person is Governor Buddy Romer. Governor, pleasure to have you on First Shift this morning.
Thank you, man. And I didn't know it was voting day in Michigan. Cool.
It is.
It's voting day in New Hampshire, too. So it seems to be a national disease, doesn't it?
Well, that's the kind of disease you want people to catch. We want
Absolutely.
People to go out and vote today, Governor. First
Absolutely.
Of all, let me thank you for making the time to come on this progressive talk show today. I find that we actually have more in common than not in common. Certainly there are things that you and I could easily disagree on, but plenty of things that we could absolutely agree on. But before we get to the issues, as I set it up, you heard the way I introduced you. You've got everything the Republicans would want in a candidate. I mean everything. You've got the experience. You have a track record that you can be proud of. It's pristine. They can't come after you. You don't have sexual harassment lawsuits pending against you. You're not flip-flopping every other word. You're not being ignored, or you are being ignored. And I got to ask the question, why are the Republicans ignoring you?
Because I talk about the one issue they don't want to talk about, Tony. I talk about money. I talk about politicians with their little hands out. I talk about special deals. I come from a land of corruption. That was Louisiana 25 years ago. Hell, I appointed an inspector general. I beat a corrupt governor. I put people in jail. We cleaned that state up. It can be done. It's hard work, but it can be done. And, I consider Washington, D.C. the capital of corruption. Here's how I mean that, very specifically. When a big check can come before a good idea, when special interests run the show and average people are ignored, when China can roll across our borders with their cheaply made goods by children and prisoners and nobody says a damn thing about it, this nation is in trouble.
Well, there's no question that is true, and it doesn't matter what political party you belong
nope.
to. That's as applicable to the Democrats as it is to the Republicans. Nobody can deny that.
Unfortunately, and I'll give you one fact. 4 years ago, when two decent men were running for president, Obama and my man McCain, they received more money from lobbyists and PACs with Washington, D.C. addresses than 32 states combined. The 98%, the 99% have surrendered. They've given the government over to special interests. And I've been out of politics for 20 years. I don't miss politics. I like the debate. I like the combat. And I like the service. But I'm telling you, I walked out of my house and back into politics for one reason, to challenge the money that has stolen my country.
Now listen, you have obviously attracted the attention of the alternate media, the mainstream media,
yeah,
to some degree has embraced you, but not in a way that you would need in order to garner the kind of national headlines that help candidates for an office like the presidency. And so I need to ask the obvious question. Is there any way, Governor Romer, that you can win the nomination of your party?
You know, I might be the only president to win the office never having a debate. I mean, I can see President Obama and Buddy Romer having 5 or 6 hour-and-a-half or 2 hour debates across the country, one in Michigan, one in the Deep South, one in the Northeast, one in the West, one in the Midwest. I can see that happening. But what I can't see happening now is me getting a chance to present my case to Republicans that our party needs to focus on reform and include others in our proposition. And secondly, that we cannot build a nation with just one party, Democrat or Republican, that we need to have a leader who is unafraid, free to lead, and reach across party lines and pull this country together. I worry about America, Tony. I think we're in serious trouble. I think the housing boom covered up our job losses for about 10 years, but it's been coming for some time, ever since Bill Clinton was president, ever since we eliminated Glass-Steagall and lost our banking system, ever since we did NAFTA. I think this country has been bleeding jobs, and I don't believe anybody's going to do a darn thing about it until they're free to lead. I start with the money, and then I go straight to the jobs.
Well, you know, and interestingly, if you take a look at the issues, and you have plenty, and the website is, I believe it's buddyromer.com, is it not?
That's right.
Yeah,
and
just
don't
go
mind spelling Romer for me, Tony. It's R-O-E-M-E-R.
Yeah,
That's how I survive.
Absolutely.
And small people going to the website.
And we're absolutely going to get that up on our Facebook page and make sure people know how to find you. If we go to the issues, and we're going to talk about some issues. If we go to the issues, one of the things we'll find out, and again, I said we're not going to agree on some things, but on a lot of things we do agree, just by virtue of what you just said, NAFTA, biggest mistake this country may have ever made.
Man. I mean, terrible. I mean, how do you give away 3 to 6 million jobs and act like it doesn't make any difference? Now, the best jobs in America in terms of building an economy. Now, you know, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a professional politician. I grow jobs. That's what I do. I became governor of Louisiana when we had an unemployment rate of 12.8%. When I got through, it was 5.6%. I know jobs. I know what companies want. They want to have some sense of confidence that the plan includes them and doesn't punish them. Small business wants a chance for some deregulation, not total deregulation. That would be stupid, just like banks need to be regulated, but some balance in regulation. These are the things we need. But NAFTA started us down a road of free trade. I am not a free trader. I'm the only person running for president who's been a congressman and a governor and who is not a free trader. I am a fair trader, and our trade deals continue under President Obama, President Bush, and particularly President Clinton to give our jobs away and act like we're all going to benefit because the goods are cheaper. What the hell difference does it make if you don't have a job?
Now, you got that right. And in fact, one of the issues that I'm very passionate about, and in fact, I belong to a group that was founded by one of the UAW locals that is Fair Trade over Free Trade. And we meet every other week. In fact, we'll be going tomorrow night to protest the Republican candidates' debate because they ignore the issues that we care about. Certainly here in Michigan, Governor Romer, Fair Trade is on the front and center of every working man and woman's mind because we understand what NAFTA did to our economy here in the state of Michigan.
Well, let me tell you, on the big issues, guys, we agree. And let me tell you why I'm not in Michigan for this debate. I mean, I love my chances in Michigan as a balanced conservative, but who is very forward-thinking on the jobs place. I mean, I've got a record to show there. The reason I'm not in Michigan is that I don't take but $100 as my maximum gift. I take no PAC money. I take no super PAC money. I fully disclose everything I receive. Now, I've done this all my life. This is not new for being president.
No, Governor, I'm Congress. I'm going to ask you to hold that thought. We got to get to a break, and we got some phone calls to get to as well. Governor Buddy Roemer, my guest, R-O-E-M-E-R, R-O-E-M-E-R, BuddyRoemer.com is the website. Again, we're going to get it up on the Facebook page. We'll take a quick break here. David in San Francisco, your questions up next to the governor. A lot to do yet here. Stay where you're at. This is First Shift. I'm Tony Trupiano. We'll be back on 1310 WDTW.
It's First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 7 o'clock on this election Thursday. My guest, Governor Buddy Roemer. He is a Republican presidential candidate for the presidency of this great United States of America. And he is, again, you can find him online at BuddyRoemer.com, R-O-E-M-E-R. I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat. What I care about is that you have an open mind. If you go to his website, you're going to find that a lot of the issues, we're going to get to some of them in just a minute, a lot of the issues that the governor likes to talk about will resonate with you no matter what political party you belong to, which, again, makes me scratch my head a little bit. If I were a Republican operative, I would want a Governor Roemer to be out and about, out in front, because they could probably listen to this, folks, and as a hardcore Democrat, they'd have a tough time. Obama have a tough time beating Governor Roemer. I'm telling you, he's that interesting. Governor, we've got
a hell of a race.
Well, it would be a hell of a race. God knows that's true. Let's go to the phones and welcome David in San Francisco. David, welcome to First Shift. You're on the air with Governor Buddy Roemer.
Yeah, good morning, Tony and Governor. You know, in history, the looting of America has happened probably, 20, 30 times. I'm a baby boomer, so it's happened at least four or five times. Jimmy Carter during Reagan, during the first Bush, during the subprime. And now currently, of course, we've got Enron examples, and there have really never been prosecutions of these old boys. And I'm just wondering, do you have historical examples that you can give us of successes and what you would tangibly do? I'm struck by the news up in Detroit there. They're planning on bulldozing 30,000 houses. Now, if I understand right, these are houses that the banks can't find title to, and so as part of the settlement for not having title to houses that they sold illegally, they're going to bulldoze the houses. Now, why is it that America has to watch its assets be bulldozed rather than allowing people who got cheated of those houses the right to move in and become taxpayers again?
All right, David, let's give the governor a chance to answer that. Thank you for your call, David. Go ahead, Governor Roemer.
The big banks control Washington, David. You understand, don't you? There's 7,400 banks in America. They're 19 on Wall Street. They have 80% of all the deposits. They have formed an oligopoly. Not quite a monopoly, but pretty close. And presidents depend on their election from the Wall Street checks. I mean, let's pick on this president, but I could pick on any. Maybe I should pick on Bill Clinton. Let's start with Bill, because I know Bill well. He was governor of Arkansas when I was governor of Louisiana. We were the two youngest governors in America. We tried to work together. I just couldn't count on what he said, but that's another story. When Bill becomes president of the United States, he works like a tiger to eliminate Glass-Steagall. That's a Franklin Roosevelt initiative passed by two congressmen from Virginia and Alabama. Glass and Steagall. What it did was it said that banks could not merge investment banks with commercial banks. It limited the size of banks without ever naming a number. And it spread the risk in banking. Well, guess who did away with it in 1999? Bill Clinton, with the help of the Republicans in the Congress. So there were both parties working together to get the funds from the banks. The banks loved it. They got huge. They doubled, and they doubled again. They got paid more. They had big bonuses. Oh, yeah, they took risks. And the housing boom hid the risk they took. And then the day came it was called, and George W. Bush was then president. And what was his answer? Did he reinstall Glass-Steagall? Oh, no. Did he cause banks to have to put up more capital to keep their size? Oh, no. Did he do away with too big to fail? Oh, no. He bailed them out. Then here comes President Obama. President number three on my list of culprits. He signed a bank reform bill, Dodd-Frank. It didn't eliminate too big to fail. It didn't reinstall Glass-Steagall. It didn't increase capital ratios as banks got bigger. It did none of those things. Obama signs it. The next week he goes to Wall Street. He has a fundraiser at $35,800 a ticket. And guess who the host is? Goldman Sachs. David, we have never seen a rape and pillage like we are seeing over the last 10 or 15 years. And it's like Tony said, if you'll let me say it too, it's not one party. It's both parties. And you know why? Because they get their money from those corporate kings. That's how they get their money. And so I run for president. Not having all the solutions, although I like my jobs idea, I like small business, I like energy independence, I like America being strong again and not being the policeman of the world. I like that. But my key is a president needs to be free. Goldman Sachs does not need to run Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. has been corrupted by the money. We need to clean it out. When you think of me, I want you to think of a broom. That's what I do.
You know, Governor Romer, I got to tell you, if there are Occupy Wall Street people listening to the show right now, and I know there are, they'd like you. They would like you a whole lot.
I've been to Occupy Wall Street, Tony. I'm the only candidate that walked down Wall Street and spent a half a day listening to the young people on Occupy Wall Street. I've been there. No other candidate has been there in either party. The reason I went was that I know the power of young people. I remember it growing up in the Deep South on a farm when my daddy had a cross burned in his yard. We were a Methodist family who believed that all citizens ought to be treated fairly and properly and respected, and we were disowned in our community, and we would not back down, and young people changed America. I remember being at Harvard, that's a small school in Boston, studying economics, when the Vietnam War came, and the kids rioted in the streets, they protested in the streets, and eventually they stopped that war. I went to Occupy Wall Street for two reasons. One, I respect the power of young people, and politicians ought to learn to listen. And number two, I think they are exactly right on the issue.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special Best Of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back with more great clips and interviews in just a bit.
They say the early bird gets the worm, which is fine with me because I really don't want a worm. I did, however, want one of those Ferrari FFs that Neiman Marcus was offering in its Christmas catalog this year. With a 651-horsepower V12 engine, this baby can top 200 miles an hour. That would really shorten my commute, except, of course, for little hindrances like rush hour traffic, uptight cops, and speed bumps. Yet, just having an FF parked in my driveway would speak volumes about my prestige and personal worthiness in this world. Start with a beautiful interior done in semi-aniline leather. I don't know what aniline is, nor do I know why it's only semi rather than full aniline, but I like the fact that Neiman's throws in a matching three-piece set of luggage, including a travel bag for golf clubs, made out of the same stuff. There's beaucoup room for luggage, too. The FF has 16 cubic feet of trunk space, which I think is bigger than my bedroom. However, I have to say that I'm not wild about the car's color, which the catalog calls Grigio Caldo. Huh? I learned from an Italian dictionary that this means warm drab, which doesn't exactly light my fire. But maybe the dull color is why these Ferraris are priced at only $395,000 each. And what the hey, you can always take the car to an Earl Scheib paint shop and have the color juiced up. What makes the FF worth the price, though, is its exclusiveness. Neiman's made only 10 of them available, and get this, each one comes with a numbered plaque, thus certifying that you're one of the 10 most special humans on Earth. This is Jim Hightower saying, but alas, I called too late to get mine. Neiman said that it sold out within 50 minutes of the sales date. It just shows how tough it is out there for us luxury shoppers. And you thought you had it bad.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's populist take on what the powers that be are up to. Find out more at HightowerLowdown.org.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me now is Jerry Persaud, the Senior Vice President of Advancement at Gleaners Community Food Bank.
Probably the single biggest thing that's happening is happening at the federal level now, and that's looking at the food stamp program. In 2006, there were 26.5 million people participating in the food stamp program. Then you had the economic decrease, and in 2011, there were 44.2 million. That's a huge increase in the number of people seeking food help. And so if you cut that program by 10%, the jobs aren't there for people. What are they going to do? That will have a tremendous impact on what's going to happen at our local level.
First Shift with Tony Trivedano
on 1310 WDTW.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special Best Of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to the clips and interviews.
Joining me now is Frank Houston. He is the chairman of the Oakland County Democratic Party, and he's with us today to talk to us about something that certainly is unconstitutional, and I would venture to guess illegal. Frank, thank you for giving us of your time this morning. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Tony. I'm glad to be on.
Have I misrepresented that at all? I mean, you know, is this simply a matter of, I mean, it's because it sounds kind of silly, doesn't it?
No, I mean, you know, it would be funny if it wasn't such a serious undercutting of our democracy. I mean, to give you a quick rundown, I mean, in Oakland County for the county commission districts, we have our own apportionment commission, just like every other county in the state has. This has been going on since since 1971. So when you add all the different county redistricting plans for these county commission seats that have been passed into law, it's over 500 of them in the last 50 years. And never once in history has there been an attempt to retroactively change the redistricting process, A, after those plans have been, you know, begun and then finally submitted and approved, and then B, after the courts have upheld them. So this isn't just an undercutting of local government. This isn't just an undercutting of kind of a time-tested statute. This is also a partisan overreach from the legislative branch into our judicial branch of government. And it's a shocking partisan overreach.
So the audience understands what we're talking about now. In Lansing last week, some folks just decided, hey, listen, we don't like the way they're doing things in Oakland County. Only in Oakland County, by the way. And I want to point that out for a reason, Frank, because it'd be different if they were looking to change the way they do apportionment around the state. They're not.
Right.
They're picking on only Oakland County. Why would that be, Frank?
Well, I think it has something to do with the fact that for the first time in history, we have a quote-unquote Democratic majority on the Apportionment Commission. So just so your listeners all understand, the way county redistricting happens, not just in Oakland County, but every county in the state, by a statute that was passed in 1966, is the two party chairs, as well as three of the countywide elected officials, those being the prosecutor, treasurer, and county clerk, those five individuals sit down and basically pass the redistricting plan together. Now, myself, I come from a good government, nonpartisan background. I can understand people saying, well, why are the party chairs being involved? But the reality is that there's one Democrat, one Republican chair, and then these three countywide. It really has been a statute for the most part that people haven't complained about. There hasn't been a lot of attempts in the last 50 years to overturn it. And even if you wanted to move to a more nonpartisan and say, well, let's get rid of the party chairs being involved, I can understand that. But to change the process after the election, after the maps have been approved, and doing it just for Oakland County because we, for the first time, have a Democratic majority is really, once again, a partisan overreach. The other thing to note is the way they are suggesting to change it, they claim they want to get the politics out of it by removing the party chairs. I'm fine with that. But they actually are giving it to the Republican county commissioners. Basically, they're saying, let's have the county commissioners pick their own voters, draw their own districts only in Oakland County where Republicans have a majority on that county commission. So it's a real blatant attempt, to just give themselves back in control of redistricting in Oakland County. And secondly, any big government reform expert on either side of the aisle in the country will tell you when you do redistricting reform, you don't want legislators, even at the county commission level, pick their own voters in their own districts. It should be the other way around. Voters should pick legislators, not legislators pick their voters.
Yeah, well, that's the way we all understood it, at least in civics class, that's the way we understood it. So that brings me back to a pretty basic question, Frank. In civics class, this is the way it's taught. This is the way we all understand it. So now it becomes about partisanship in a very uncomfortable way. What is Oakland County, and specifically the Democrats in Oakland County asking the state legislature to do at this point?
Well, I think two simple things. First of all, I think the Senate, which is where this, just to be clear, this passed out of the House committee and out of the House all within a week of when it was introduced. So this is fast tracked. So what we're asking for now is the Senate basically to, if they want to do committee hearings and talk about this long term, that's fine. But not to pass this bill right now, and not to allow it to go out retroactively. So that's the first thing, is to make sure that they don't pass this specific legislation in its current form. And I think the second thing is really to have some sort of real discussion around redistricting now is a good thing. And I think looking at, if there's ways to have more nonpartisanship in the redistricting process, I'm all for it. Better transparency and accountability for the plans that are introduced. I think that's great. So really, my ask is simple. One is reject this really blatantly unprecedented partisan overreach that Representative Jacobson from Oakland County introduced in the House. And then secondly, start having the conversations now about real redistricting reform for the whole state, and as well as for the state legislative districts and congressional districts, which obviously have been gerrymandered. Instead of just picking on Oakland County because you don't like the fact that three Democrats happen to sit on our portion of the commission for the first time.
Well, okay, so now let's talk reality, because we've got a track record now. We've got almost a year's worth of legislative agenda. We can take a look at the way the Republicans like to do things at the state level. And we know that they traditionally ignore what Democrats ask them to do, and we've got plenty of precedent to prove that. I don't need to point out... I don't need to enumerate the bills, Frank. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh,
this
yeah.
audience knows what I'm talking about. Are you prepared to take this to court if need be?
Oh, yeah. I mean, without question. But my hope really is that, obviously Republicans care about, picking up seats and protecting their power in any election year. But I think even if you talking to some folks in Lansing, they're a little embarrassed about this, too. I mean, it might pass. I'm not going to say it won't. But my hope is that, if not in the Senate, then the governor stands up and acts like the adult in the room and says, this has even gone a little too far. Because this is really unprecedented. I've never heard of an instance in the country where you change redistricting retroactively after an election, after maps, and have been approved and after the courts have affirmed them unanimously. And keep in mind, the Republicans actually still can appeal. The Court of Appeals upheld our map by a unanimous 3-0 vote, but they can still appeal it to the Supreme Court. They just have to appeal it by December 28th, and the court has to accept their, obviously a Republican Supreme Court has to accept the case. So they still have opportunity to have their day in court. And if not, the legislative route, we'll have our day in court, I'm quite sure.
Well, I'm quite sure we will, too. And unfortunately, it wastes a lot of time and a lot of resources, you know, and frankly, at a lot of different levels. I mean, we could say that this is, this is about the racial bias, because I think we could easily make that argument. I mean, every single thing that touches the electoral process is offended. It offends my senses. Every single thing about this stinks to the highest heavens, and I'm so pissed off at Republicans for continuing to legislate their way. And this is their own form of bullying. You know, the one thing that maybe they should have passed in the bullying legislation is, you know, how to prevent themselves from continuing to pick on innocent people.
I couldn't have worded any of that better than myself. I mean, the thing that, you know, there's so many things that's wrong with this, but I think the bottom line here is it's not just going to be a bunch of Democrats screaming in the Capitol or at a county commission meeting in Oakland County asking Brooks Patterson to stop pushing these sorts of games. But, you know, I think this is something, I mean, even like the press last week, Friday, wrote an article about the kind of buffoonery of it and outrageousness of it, you know, the spinal column. I mean, all these local papers have picked up on it, and I think it's just going to get worse for them. I mean, there is a tipping point where voters realize that, you know, you're undercutting democracy. And you know, Tony, one last thing I just want to add. The saddest thing about it, from my perspective, is, you know, when I was first put as chairman of the apportionment commission by unanimous vote, and Bill Board, the Republican county clerk, was the unanimous second in charge of redistricting in Oakland County by our commission. So it was a bipartisan commission, and we really had the most transparent, open process the county's ever had, and passed legally the strongest plan, most nonpartisan plan we've ever got. The plan that was adopted wasn't some sort of Democratic hack job. It really is a swing map that either party is competitive in from presidential to the gubernatorial year.
Yeah. Well, Frank, listen, I don't mean to interrupt you. We're just out of time. Listen, let's stay in touch and let's make sure that we keep this audience updated on what's going on, okay?
Great. No, thanks for having me, Tony, and please call your legislators.
Absolutely, everybody, do that. Frank Houston, chairman of the Oakland County Democratic Party. A quick break.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back with more great clips and interviews in just a bit.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Joining us now is Cheryl Witten, the president of the Michigan Advisory Board for Blessings in a Backpack.
Blessings in a Backpack is a national organization. This teacher was concerned because she had kids in her school who came back from the weekend tired and hungry and by no means ready to learn. These children are on the free and reduced lunch program during school week, but no one thought, what happens to these children when they go home on Friday? So came up with the very simple idea, let's pack a backpack with food to take home with them on Friday, and they would return their backpack on Monday to be refilled.
All right, so if I contact blessingsinabackpackmi.org, how do I get involved?
There is a page to make a donation, and then we, as the Michigan Board, will determine where the greatest need is.
Blessingsinabackpackmi.org.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Happy holidays, and thanks for tuning in for this special best of edition of First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to the clips and interviews.
As I was sharing with you earlier on in the show today, we've got Congressman Hanson Clark joining us. Now, a little later on this morning, he and Congressman John Conyers will be holding a press conference to place some needed attention on the plight of our veterans who are returning from war, some of them, of course, disabled, that don't have jobs. And this morning at the historic Fort Wayne, again, Congressman Hanson Clark and John Conyers will be there to talk about how we salute our veterans. And on the line with me now is Congressman Hanson Clark, my good friend. How are you this morning?
Tony, it's great being on your show. You're a real champion for our people here in Metro Detroit. And you're right. Today, 10 a.m., historic Fort Wayne, we're going to salute our veterans. And the best way to do that is to help them find a job, get them the health care that they need, the shelter that they deserve. The reason I say shelter, many of the men that I see downtown Detroit that are getting their food and their breakfasts out of garbage dumpsters are veterans, which is an outrage. So we wanted to bring the veterans, their families together to meet the providers that can help them with the services that our veterans need, but to meet with them face-to-face under one roof this morning. That's at 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. So we're urging all veterans in Metro Detroit that need help finding work, getting health care, finding shelter, staying in their homes, avoid foreclosure, please come to historic Fort Wayne. I'll be there personally to be your advocate, Congressman Hanson Clark.
All right. Now, I got to tell you, this is, of course, a wonderful thing that you're doing. I know that President Obama has a special program out there. I can't think of a less partisan issue than helping our veterans. Why are the Republicans stalling on this? Do you have any idea, Congressman?
Well, you know, I'm just trying to focus on helping the veterans right now. And, you know, these cuts, though, that are being proposed, especially the Veterans Administration, that would just devastate any help that our veterans could get. These cases are backlogged right now as it is. Many of our veterans that call the VA, they can't get through because of all the calls. So we can't really cut resources from that are going to our veterans because our veterans desperately need it right now.
Yeah, you know, and let's be mindful. We're not just talking about recent veterans. We're talking about any veteran, right? It doesn't matter when you served your country. It just matters that you served your country.
That's exactly right. And the tragedy is that many of our veterans that need the help the most that are out on the streets served us in Vietnam. And that's outrageous for them not to have a home right now. So we wanted to make sure that the veterans and their families, also we're busing some of the veterans from the shelters right now so they can meet directly with the people that can help them get the health treatment that they need and the job training that's important.
All right, well, let me just share. The veterans that are listening, or if you know a veteran, by the way, that would need this, folks, let me get you some information here. They're going to be connected with over 25 agencies that provide vital social and economic resources. These agencies focus on job training, higher education, entrepreneurship, and many other opportunities that are available to veterans that I'm going to guess veterans and families aren't even aware that this stuff exists.
That's probably true. And I'm glad you mentioned about entrepreneurship. You know, many of our veterans have the skills that they need to go in their own business. We want to provide them with that assistance because they can create jobs for many people in Metro Detroit.
No question. Well, again, let me remind everybody, the historic Fort Wayne, let me give you the address, folks, in case you need to MapQuest it or something. It's 6325 West Jefferson Avenue in Detroit. That's 6325 West Jefferson Avenue in Detroit. The zip is 48209, and it's real easy to find. Should be an amazing day. And again, Congressman John Conyers and my guest, Congressman Hanson Clark, will be out there today. Congressman, thanks so much for your time today. I'm sure you're going to have a big turnout.
You're very welcome. Our veterans deserve our support because they've sacrificed everything for us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Congressman.
You're welcome.
We'll talk soon. You bet.
That'll do it for us for today. I hope you enjoyed the Best of First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Remember to add a like to our Facebook page. And also, you can follow us on Twitter @TonyTrupiano. That's TRUPIANO.
Remember to punch back in with us weekdays from 6 to 9 in the morning right here on 1310 WDTW. Have a great day, and as Tony would say, be well.
Alka-Seltzer Plus presents The Cold Truth.
Ugh, I took some meds for this cold, but I'm still stuffed up.
Honey, what did you take?
NyQuil.
NyQuil doesn't unstuff your nose.
Huh?
There's no decongestant.
What?
Try Alka-Seltzer Plus Night Liquid Gels, a more complete cold formula that fights your worst cold symptoms, plus it relieves your stuffy nose.
That's the cold truth.
Alka-Seltzer Plus Night in a liquid gel.
Oh, what a relief it is.
Look for an Alka-Seltzer Plus coupon in this Sunday's paper.
You would come home after a hard day and just start in on me, you know, like, hey, how's your day? How was school? What you got going on? I mean, it gave me the chills.
My father would drive me all the way to the mall. He wouldn't stop until we were right in front of my friends. And oh my God, when...
I wanted to go to Europe, and he seriously made me get a job to pay for it. And that one time...
He insisted on taking us to the movies, even though he knew Stephen totally worked there and I was totally in love with him. And
the time I got this wicked, cool scorpion tattoo on my shoulder, not even the whole arm, just the shoulder, and he grounded me for 2 weeks. 2 weeks! And oh yeah.
When I wanted to major in ceramics because I'm like way good at it, my dad told me I'd have to pay my own tuition. Like, duh. How am I supposed to earn that kind of dough making pottery?
Embarrass them. Horrify them. Freak them out. Don't worry. They'll appreciate it. Eventually. A message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council. Have you been a dad today? For more information, visit fatherhood.org.
Hey, it's Tony from First Shift. Weekdays from 6 to 9 right here on 13. 13-